77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
For Democrats in a presidential election year, 2024 is starting to feel like 1968. A divisive war, campus protests, an unpopular incumbent, and a summer political convention in Chicago. President Biden's facing all that, and Donald Trump, too. CBS's Natalie Brand is at the White House. Natalie?
There's a little more than 6 months until Election Day, and the president and former president are setting the stage for a general election debate.
We're willing to do it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night on national television.
Spending the week not on the campaign trail but on trial, Trump said he's ready to debate President Biden. This after the president said he's open to the face-off during a radio interview with Howard Stern.
I'm happy to debate it.
The president also told Stern that he condemns the former president's actions on January 6th and Trump's campaign promise to pardon individuals convicted in connection with the U.S. Capitol attack.
It was derelict. It was almost criminal.
Almost criminal.
He sat there and watched what was happening. Not a single, and now he wants to call, he calls them patriots and victims.
Trump's federal election interference case remains on hold and could be delayed until after the November election, as the U.S. Supreme Court weighs presidential immunity and whether the former president can be prosecuted.
This is 8 days that we've all been sitting in this courthouse.
Also this week, a federal judge in author E. Jean Carroll's civil defamation case against Trump upheld the verdict, an $83 million judgment denying his motion for a new trial.
President Biden spoke by phone to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, warning once again about a new Israeli assault on the city of Rafah in Gaza. Also, Secretary of State Antony Blinken left Washington for his latest trip to the region. Blinken is expected into Israel Tuesday. It will be his seventh visit since the war began in October.
A last-ditch effort to revive ceasefire talks and secure a hostage deal ahead of a possible ground offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah.
The pressure is mounting on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Anger over the government's failure to bring their loved ones home has spilled onto the streets as demonstrators have stepped up their protests, which more than once have ended in scuffles with police. Prioritizing a hostage deal over the Rafah offensive has exposed cracks in Netanyahu's coalition government. The release of the hostages is our first priority, said Foreign Minister Israel Katz, adding that would mean deferring an offensive in Rafah, where more than 1.4 million Palestinians are sheltering, a move vehemently opposed by Israel's more hawkish right-wing faction.
Tomorrow is the last day of classes for students at Columbia, and with negotiations between the university and demonstrators still ongoing, there's uncertainty about what the end of the semester will look like. CBS 2's Naveen Dhaliwal is live in Morningside Heights with the latest for us. Naveen?
Pro-Palestinian students have been demonstrating for 12 days now, and they have set up a camp next to the graduation ceremony site that is scheduled for May 15th, and many here are concerned that that ceremony may not happen. On Broadway, outside of Columbia University, pro-Palestinian demonstrators were in full force. On campus, a calm in this makeshift tent city, as they say they'll be here until the school divests from Israel.
If our demands that help free the people of Palestine, help to liberate the Palestinian people, are not met, we're staying here.
These demonstrators are setting up camp next to the school's graduation ceremony site, scheduled for May 15th, and there are concerns.
I have family and friends who are looking to come and celebrate, and it is a disruption.
Jeremy Wall and his wife Taylor Francisco are both graduating from the school next month.
I'm really uncertain. I'm not sure what's going to happen. There's not really any communication about it.
Some students were seen debuting their gowns, a proud moment at the brink of disruption.
I mean, it's such a tradition to have classes have graduation on campus, and that stings.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since the pro-Palestinian demonstrations started here in New York, including NYU and City College, and spreading to schools around the country.
Political action, if you want to charitably call it that, has gotten pretty shrill on campus, and I don't know it
this is achieving.
On MSNBC, Mayor Eric Adams says the NYPD will only intervene if the school requests them to do so.
Columbia University stated that they want to sit down and speak with the students and the other college campuses as well, and we're not going to do anything unless the college campuses request such.
Twice this weekend, Columbia University officials scheduled a press conference to provide more information about their plan, and both times they canceled.
Sid Rosenberg with you, back in the same chair I was sitting in after the October 7th attacks and after Iran attacked Israel a couple weeks ago. Here to tell you that these strict constitutionalists who tell you these animals on these campuses have a First Amendment right, here to tell you they are full of No, they don't. When you start talking about Final Solution, which is what the Nazis talked about when they exterminated 6 million Jews, when people are getting violent on campuses, intimidating and threatening and actually hitting people, that is not a First Amendment right. It is time for city officials, state officials, federal officials to step in and do their jobs, protect the Jewish students and protect the Jewish people. I am so sick and tired of the rights for everybody else. What about us? Get your f***ing act together.
Do you agree with the mayor's assessment of the city that New York is now in its best shape ever?
No, I don't agree with that at all. No, I disagree with that. Absolutely.
Fox, Zibanejad, Panarin, score! Artemi Panarin! It's a power play goal! Rangers lead 3-2! And this one is over! The Rangers sweep it! The New York Rangers sweep the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Igor Shesterkin with a brilliant series. The Rangers' first sweep of a best-of-seven series since the 2007 sweep of the Atlanta Thrashers.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away on the road. But you got no destination. Your love is gone. Even if that doesn't ring true, you've been all over, and it's been all over you. It's a beautiful day.
It is going to be a beautiful day. I mean, the Rangers, the Hockey Rangers, are moving on. The only club in the first round of the NHL playoffs. By the way, one of only two clubs when you combine the NHL and NBA playoffs to get themselves a first-round series sweep, the Rangers eliminating Washington in four. In the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they swept the Phoenix Suns in four. But we don't care about Minnesota and Phoenix. We care about my favorite team, the Hockey Blue Shirts. So the Rangers move on. Panarin was great. Shesterkin was great. And now it'll be a second-round matchup, and it looks like it'll be the Carolina Hurricanes. Hurricanes will take on the Islanders game 5 of that series
Coming up tomorrow night, the Islanders staving off the sweep with a double overtime win a couple nights ago, but that series is still 3-1 Carolina. So it looks like the Rangers and the Hurricanes will be a second-round matchup. That is a very, very tough matchup for the Rangers. I mean, the Eastern Conference happens to be a very good conference. The Florida Panthers are a terrific team. They're up 3-1 on Tampa Bay. The Lightning won to stave off elimination a couple of days ago. The Bruins having their way up with Toronto, up 3-1. So between the Rangers, the Hurricanes, the Bruins, and the Panthers, that is a very, very solid conference. But the Rangers have moved on, and now they await the winner of the Hurricanes and Islanders, which looks like it's going to be the Hurricanes. So when you combine the weather today, 84 and sunny, you heard me right, 84 and sunny with the Ranger win, it is a beautiful day, I guess. There's a lot of stuff in that open that ain't so beautiful, from the continued persecution of my friend, President Donald Trump. He's not in court today. It's, you know, his court days are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But for the first time in 3 weeks, he's not in court today on a Monday. Any idea why that's the case, Noam?
Don't know.
All right. So he resumes his court, back in court tomorrow. In fact, Andrew Giuliani, who spent the whole day with President Trump yesterday. How do I know that? He was on Curtis Sliwa's great show about 8 o'clock last night, and he was boasting about he's traveling back to New York, Andrew Giuliani, with President Trump on Air Force One later on today. And he said, Sid's going to be jealous, and he's right, I am jealous. Because Jason Miller told me, we're going to get you on that plane, but not yet. But Giuliani and Trump on the way back to New York today, and he'll be back in court tomorrow. Of course, the Israel situation, once again, this has now become a weekly thing. It's a weekly thing where this asshole, President Biden, warns Bibi Netanyahu about how to handle or even go into Rafah. That's like a weekly thing now, Noam, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it has been.
And it doesn't seem like Bibi Netanyahu cares, does he?
No, Israel clearly is going to do what Israel needs to do,
which is go into Rafah. Try to get whatever hostages are still alive, including Hirsch Goldberg. But the real reason why they're going in there is to wipe out the rest of Hamas, right? Because you can't win the war if you allow 4 or 5 battalions and their leaders to reorganize inside that city. Isn't that obvious?
You would think so, yeah.
Well, then why isn't it obvious to Biden, Blinken, the rest of these idiots?
You'd have to ask them, but there, yeah. There is one sideline.
Well, did Howard Stern ask that when he did that ridiculously softball? Yeah. You know, listen, you guys know for all these years how nicely I've talked about Stern. And I played my clips on his show, on this show, time and time again. And I'd be lying if I said to you it wasn't a huge thrill to be a guest of Howard Stern about 3 or 4 times. And also host Whack Pack Bowling on Howard TV. That was a big deal. And even though I worked with Don Imus on and off for the better part of 18 years, I've always been very, very, very quick to give Howard his credit as the greatest radio host of all time. And I'm not even sure I'm ready to take that away from him, because what he did for a couple of decades doesn't go away, because he's turned into what he is now, which is a complete embarrassment and stupid. I mean, I thought Stern was a smart guy. Clearly, he doesn't pay attention to anything going on. I guess Robin gives him all of his details. So I'm not going to take away what I thought about him before, but I'm done with him. I am done. I don't want to hear him. So in the same spirit as Pink Floyd, Roger Waters, Eric Clapton, Taylor Swift, all these people that have received lifetime bans on the Sid Rosenberg show. Sorry, Marianne from Brooklyn. As of this morning, I'm announcing after today's show, because I've got to play his cuts first. After today's show, a lifetime ban for Howard Stern.
Really?
Oh,
that's big.
That's a big deal, bro.
What if he mentions you after this band begins.
Well, then I got to play it.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if he's nasty to me, which he's going to be if he mentions me at all, because I'm going to be nasty to him all day long. I mean, what he did, you got to hear this. This was put together, I think, by Clay Travis. He's talking to Biden, going on and on about all the great things that Joe Biden has done. I couldn't believe what I was watching. This is a Lewis Howard Stern sellout pussy, cut number three.
Oh, you know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt
with
it.
Shut up.
And you're
years
the kind
ago.
Of leader I love.
Dummy.
Because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are,
oh, really,
I
Hunter?
Know you'd be a good father to the country.
Great
and
job,
I,
with
and
Hunter.
I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO. Getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin.
What?
The incredible large growth in the jobs.
Yes.
Unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Uh-huh. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders. Cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do you believe that?
I couldn't.
Do you believe that?
So what did they do on the air?
Yeah, right. So, but let me show you what a scumbag Howard Stern is, because for many, 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 many years, he was quick to say that his best guest ever was President Trump. And they were very, very friendly on and off the air for many, many years. So I know this is a long time ago, 25 years ago, but let me bring you back to a phone call that Donald Trump made to the Howard Stern show. Where back then, at least, Howard loved Donald Trump. This would be, let me see this, cut number four. Play this, Lewis.
President Donald Trump is on the phone.
My
theory is that Donald is really not running for president.
You think he's just promoting a book?
Yeah, he doesn't need the commission. Donald.
Hi, Howard.
How are you?
But I am having a good time.
Mr. President.
Well, you have to endorse me, Howard.
Yes, sure, I'll endorse you. What else have I got
I
to do?
Tell you what. This country won't be ripped off anymore, Howard.
I know. You'll get a good deal.
We'll get good deals.
Well, the guy's a great businessman.
Oh, yeah.
You got lots of good deals and lots of lower taxes.
Let me talk to that broad in your bed.
I could almost have her talk to you.
You could? Let me just say
actually, she's outside in another room listening to this.
What is she doing, actually? What is she wearing?
I don't know. Maybe I should get her in. Do you want me to get her in?
Yeah, let me talk to her for a second. Let me talk to her. What's her name again? Melanie?
It begins with an M.
Damn. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
You are so hot.
Oh, thank you.
I see pictures of you. I can't believe it. You're a dream.
Howard Stern with Donald Trump. So
what happened?
Whatever the flavor is of the day, you know, he's got about as much backbone as a cadaver, Howard Stern, when he did interview a cadaver just a couple of days ago. So also in the open, you know, this Columbia stuff is getting out of control. If I hear one more time about quote-unquote negotiations, I'm going to shoot myself. So, you know, I've got this chair in my family room, and every weekend morning, Saturday and Sunday, I make my way downstairs, make myself a cup of coffee, usually Starbucks on the Keurig, and I sit in my chair and either watch, you know, the sports from the night before or Sunday mornings, for example, I always watch Maria Bartiromo. I love her. And then inevitably, I do a video. So that very first video I did from that chair was Sunday, October the 8th, the day after Hamas attacked Israel. Since then, I've done 2 or 3 more, including a couple of weekends ago when Iran attacked Israel. And yesterday, I was compelled to do it again. You know, I was thinking back to the conversation I had with Judge Andrew Napolitano here on Friday, and I've heard Frank Morano say the same thing, and it just made me furious. This idea that these kids can do what they're doing, and I would sit out there with them, because that is their First Amendment right. No, it's not. When you're yelling and screaming about the final solution which is what the Nazis said before they exterminated 6 million Jews. When you're flying Hezbollah flags on American campuses, when you're screaming death to America, death to the Jews, and worst of all, when you are physically violent, that is not your First Amendment right, you dumb bastards, whether it's the judge or Frank. It is time to get these kids out of here. So the mayor, he sits there with Al Sharpton and goes, "Nah, we're not going to do nothing. Unless Columbia calls us, we're not going to do anything." He actually said that. Unless Columbia calls us, we're not going to do anything. Play this. This is Mayor Eric Adams, Lewis, cut number 9.
Columbia University stated that they want to sit down and speak with the students and the other college campuses as well. And we're not going to do anything unless the college campuses request such.
We're not going to do anything unless they call us. I mean, I know they're a private university. I get it. But at some point, Noam, don't you have to do something? You know, tweeting and sitting there with Al Sharpton, is that the leader that we elected to be mayor? Is that the guy?
I think he's like in a quandary because they have to be invited onto the campus to do anything. And it seems like Columbia is just going to wait out the end of the school year. Today's the last day of classes. So they're clearly just going to wait for the semester to end and then hope that these kids will pack up and go home for the summer.
They're not going anywhere. They made that point very, very clear. Unless we meet their demands. How about I bash you over the face with a bat, you little son of a bitch. Meet your demands. So Adams also said this weekend that New York has never been in better shape. I swear to God, he says it all the time, but he said it again. New York has never been in better shape. So my friend, the actor, Giles Palminteri, he's on with Stuart Varney on Fox Business, and Varney brings it up, that the mayor said, "Chaz, this city has never been in better shape." Here was Giles Palminteri's response. Lewis, cut number 11.
Do you agree with the mayor's assessment of the city that New York is now in its best shape ever?
No, I don't agree with that at all. No, I disagree with that. Absolutely.
He goes on to talk more about this city and how pathetic this city is, Chaz Palminteri. Once again, courtesy of Stuart Varney and Fox News, in this cut number 12.
I think I watch and I walk the streets of New York. And I see the way crime is, as far as like people asking other people for money. Talk about the quality of life. It's not only just the people go, well, crime is down, murder is down, but it's the quality of life walking down the street and having people harass you constantly. Mm. I don't like that. I think it's wrong.
Do you feel safe in the city these days?
Well, I mean, I feel safe, but I think the majority of people don't feel safe. I know when my wife goes there with my children, she feels she won't take the subway. That's for sure. Huh. Won't take the subway. And I know a lot of people who will not take the subway. So it's the quality of life, Stuart. It's not just about numbers and crime. I've seen a person on 61st and Madison go to the bathroom right on the corner. I saw that. I was in my car and I watched it and I was in disbelief. And he just did it and then walked away. I'm not talking about number one. I'm talking about number two.
I got it. I do understand these things. Okay. But what do you think is the basic problem here? Is it the migrants flooding into the city? Is it an incompetent administration? Is it no respect for law and order?
Before he answers that, we'll get to that part two of that interview between Stuart Varney and Chaz Palminteri coming up. But you heard what he talked about, not just the crime stats, which they shove in your face, but watching a guy make a big duty on the street on 61st and Madison Avenue. Chaz Palminteri doesn't find that to be good for the city. What about you, Noam? You okay with that?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, one or two things is okay. Right. No, come on, you can let that go.
God, there's so much going on. So much going on. The number is always 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800.
No more barbecues.
848-9222. Big guest list on your Monday morning, Curtis Sliwa, Rich Lowry, Joe Tacopina, Steve Bannon, and more. We'll take our first break. on our Monday morning here on WABC. And we'll be back with lots of opinions, a couple of yucks, and a very busy show. Sid and Friends in the Morning, winding down the month of April.
Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but they'll never get inside. We got too much to hide. Baby, I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but they'll never get inside. We got too much to hide.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. When you were always on my mind, you were always on my mind.
Now here's a guy that looks really good for his age. How old is Willie Nelson today?
I told those guys out in the newsroom, and I couldn't believe it. 91.
But he's looked like he's 91 for like 40 years. Like when he was 51, he looked like he was 91. He's horrible. He's got more lines on his face than every highway combined in America.
Well, he makes more sense than Biden.
No, I like his... I mean, Willie's an American hero, but... I mean, he does. He's not any better looking than Imus was, to be honest. Horrible looking guy. Well, and has been forever.
He's at 91.
No, he looked terrible when he was 60. I don't remember a good looking Willie Nelson ever. But he's a great guy. And, you know, they went after him, too, the government, about his taxes. Him and Wesley Snipes, if I remember correctly. Broke his balls. He had a lot of money, Willie Nelson. Talking about Willie Nelson, you're always on my mind. My wife, I want to give her congratulations this morning. She ran another marathon. It's unbelievable. You know, she's done 40 full marathons, including New York five times, but the beautiful Danielle ran Nashville, Tennessee this weekend and did it in great time. It was a half marathon. It's only 13.1 miles as opposed to the 26.2 the full marathon is. But she did another one, half marathon, first time ever in Nashville, Tennessee. So congratulations to my beautiful wife, Danielle. You know, getting back to the Adam stuff and how, you know, Noam says he's in a bit of a quandary. He's not in any quandary. He's a pussy. Go in there and start bashing heads and rip down these damn tents like they did in Arizona. They didn't wait for anybody to call them. They just ripped them down. So here's my question to you, Lewis. Let's just say that all these tents and all these protests, because black people, you know, they're committing crimes, there are issues, and people are protesting black people, okay? You can throw gays in there, too, but let's just go with black people, being that Eric Adams loves to tell everybody all the time how he's black, he loves his chocolate audience, he loves Al Sharpton. Very simple question. If this were blacks and not Jews, would that encampment still be up today?
What an excellent question.
You know the answer is no. They would have ripped it down already.
You mean if they were yelling about blacks?
If they were protesting blacks instead of Jews and Israel, would that encampment still be up today, yes or no?
No, it would be destroyed.
Destroyed, right? Justin Ellick, what do you think? If they were protesting blacks and not us, Jews and Israel, would that encampment still be there today? Or Eric Adams show all of a sudden an incredible set of balls and intestinal fortitude and find a way to knock that stuff down?
Not only would the camp not be there, all these students would probably be suspended and or expelled.
All of them, right?
Yeah.
If not arrested.
Yes.
Noam, you're going to disagree with the other two guys, what they said?
No, I think the only difference I would say is the university would have taken them down day one.
The university.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's say they didn't. Let's say they didn't. Would Eric Adams sit there with Al Sharpton and go,
No, we're not doing nothing. No, he would go in, but he says he can't go in until they let him in.
Okay, let's say it's the same scenario. You can't go in unless they let you in, but they're protesting blacks. You think Eric Adams still doesn't go in? Yes or no?
I think he goes in, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Right. Of course.
No more just doing whatever you want.
That's what's so disgusting. I know Frank Caron's going to hate my guts today. I don't care. That's what's so disgusting about this. He's Mr. I'm pro-Jewish, Jewish Heritage Month at Gracie Mansion. I've been there for that. You know, Menashe Shapiro, I love Menashe. He's one of my favorite people in this city. But he's got to get away from this guy. He's got to quit that administration. It's embarrassing. He's like a real Jew, Menashe. I'll ask you, Menashe, you're listening right now, if they were protesting blacks and not Jews, you guys would have the National Guard in there today. Who do you think you're kidding? You think we're stupid? Even gays, they would have found a way to get in there. LGBTQPR.
Right? Are you kidding?
Of course.
That thing wouldn't have lasted 2 hours.
Not 2 hours. Jews. Oh, F the Jews. No, I love the Jews. I love the Jews. I mean, everybody keeps asking that same question. Maybe Howard can answer that. The genius that is Howard Stern found a way to congratulate Joe Biden on his presidency when any moron who knows anything about history knows that Joe Biden is far and away, I don't care what O'Reilly says, far and away the worst president in the history of this country. The worst. Didn't stop Howard from sitting there for 5 minutes going over all of his incredible accomplishments.
Biden's not even aware of them.
He's like, man, I did all that. Jack.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. I love that. Jack.
Jack, I did all that.
Who are you talking to?
Even his answer when he talked about debating, I don't even know what Joe Biden said there. Do you?
No. And it didn't help because the way he speaks, even when he's talking into a microphone, it doesn't grab everything.
It doesn't, yeah.
And it's like, because most of what he's saying is like under his breath, or he sounds like an old, you know, decrepit old man.
Yeah, here it is. This is Stern bringing up the possibility of a Trump-Biden debate. And here was Biden's enthusiastic response. Cut number one.
I don't know if you're going to debate your
your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to pay him.
There's no, that is not going to happen.
Come on, Noam. Did you hear that?
I did.
I mean, that's a world leader. That's the most powerful man in the world right there. Are you kidding me?
I listened to that interview, and I wasn't expecting much from Howard in terms of hard questions, because clearly when they set up the interview, he said it was going to be a friendly interview. That's why he agreed to do it. But when you listen to him, I found it hard to follow Joe Biden when he started to tell stories. He would start one story, and then the middle of it, he'd veer off, and I'd be like, what is he talking about? And I was listening, you know, with buds in my ear. There was no other distraction. I was at the gym. It was like, what? Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, well, here Stern is like coaching Biden. He like coaches him. If you have a debate, Mr. President, just focus on this, Howard Stern, cut number two.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts. But tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump, and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
He's coming. Oh, that's it?
No, that's it.
That's it. I thought this was when he talks about his son.
No. The only reason I didn't put that on there was because I didn't want to trigger the dead air alarm. It's literally six seconds of silence.
Dead air.
He's talking about Bo Biden and just stares into space for six
says nothing.
Seconds.
But I found this to be interesting. When they were talking about January 6th, Stern and Biden, according to Jack Smith and Biden's Department of Justice, what Donald Trump did was criminal. Is that correct, Noam?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, according to Biden, it was, quote, almost criminal. Swear to God. This is Joe Biden on Howard Stern talking about Trump's role in January 6th. And pay attention when he says almost criminal. Cut number five.
It was derelict. It was almost criminal. He did nothing. He just
right
sat
there. You hear that? He was almost criminal.
Not a single angle.
Okay, thank you very much. Shut up, you moron. So he said almost criminal. Did you hear that?
I did. I did hear that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
He didn't say criminal. He didn't say he should go to jail. Almost criminal. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was amazing.
I mean, it was so bad.
Yeah.
God, it was so bad. And you know, Stern is like, first of all, he looks so silly because he like got dressed up. And one thing about Howard Stern, not exactly the most attractive man in the world, but he's fine if he's wearing, you know, jeans and a sweatshirt. So he put on like a sport jacket, a white shirt, and a black tie. He looked so silly. Did he not know?
He did. It was the suit from his daughter's wedding last summer. I heard him talk about it. Yeah.
He looked stupid. He sounded stupid. It's just, oh, how the mighty have fallen. But I'm sure today he's very proud of himself. Maybe he'll bring on his butt buddy, George Stephanopoulos, talk about how Biden's ass tastes, the whole thing, you know. Way to go, Howard. All right.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers on the ice in the NHL. Artemi Panarin scored the go-ahead goal on the power play early in the third period. Igor Shesterkin made 23 saves and the Rangers finished off a sweep of the Washington Capitals with a 4-2 victory in game four. To advance to the second round, trade deadline pickup, Roslovich, sealed it with an empty netter with 51 seconds left, and the Rangers will next face either the Carolina Hurricanes or crosstown rival New York Islanders, or the spot in the Eastern Conference Final at stake. Carolina leads that series 3-1 following a 3-2 double overtime victory out of the Isles in Saturday's Game 4. Round 2 action for the Rangers cannot start until Thursday at the very earliest. On the hardwood in Philly, Jalen Brunson scored a career playoff high, 47 points, added 10 assists, and the Knicks beat the 76ers 97-92 yesterday to take a 3-1 lead in their first round playoff series. Brunson's 47 is the highest ever by a New York Knicks player in the postseason, surpassing the 46 points scored by Bernard King in 1984. OG Anunoby added 16 points and 14 rebounds and took on some of the defensive assignment against Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter. Embiid scored 50 points, his postseason best, to lead the 76ers to a victory in Game 3, and he had them off to a great start in Game 4. But Brunson soon became the dominant player on the floor, the first time All-Star, finishing 18 of 34 from the field. The Knicks move within a victory of getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals for the second straight year, and they'll have a chance to do just that with a victory at home in tomorrow night's Game 5. To the Diamond in Milwaukee, where an Aaron Judge first-inning homer got a Yankees offense running wild once again, with the Yanks defeating the Brewers 15-5. Anthony Rizzo went 4-for-4 and hit his 300th career homer. Anthony Volpe added a three-run shot on his 23rd birthday. Judge went 3-for-4 with three RBI, including the 441-foot solo shot.
It was some weekend for the Yankees. They scored 30 runs in 2 days.
Yeah.
They scored 15 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. 15 more
on Sunday.
Yep.
They got a great lineup, man. We talked about that. 19-10 right now.
Yeah.
Third best record in baseball. The Guardians are 19-9, and the Atlanta Braves are 19-7. But Yankees can score.
Yeah,
bottom line.
I mean, when it all comes together like that, you saw it for a couple of days.
Consecutive 15-run days. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll see. Alex Verdugo heating up big time. He was a big-time bat this weekend for the Yanks. The Yanks open up a four-game set with the AL East rival Baltimore Orioles. They're a game up on the Orioles right now in the AL East. The Orioles lost 7-6 yesterday to Oakland. Yanks begin a four-game series at Baltimore tonight. First pitch there, 6:35 p.m. Clark Schmidt ready to take the hill. In Mets land, Mark Vientos hit a two-run homer in the 11th inning on his second day in the majors this season to give New York a 4-2 comeback victory over the St. Louis Cardinals that prevented a three-game sweep. Up next for them, tonight's opener of a four-game set at home against the Chicago Cubs. First pitch there, 7:10, Luis Severino on the hill. Sports, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com to fund a deal.
Pete Alonso with his 200th home run this weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
Good for him.
He became the fourth New York Met to do it. Can you name the other three?
Oh, man. Daryl Strawberry.
Bang.
Keith Hernandez.
Incorrect. Not even close.
Not even
horrible
close.
Guess.
Horrible. Piazza. Terrible guess.
Mike Piazza. Very
Piazza.
Good. Very good. One more.
Gary Carter.
Gary Carter.
Wow.
Horrible guess.
You reacted like it was going to be the right answer.
But it's so bad. Gary spent all those years in Montreal.
He did. You're right.
Willie Montanez.
Not a bad guess. Okay. Actually, a horrible guess.
Mookie Wilson.
I just wanted to say his name.
Mookie, no. Didn't hit home runs.
No.
Did he give up?
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. He was a home run and RBI machine
and a
multiple all-star. That's a good guess. That's what I said. Incorrect. Multiple all-star at third base.
David Wright?
Yes. There you have it.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Strawberry, David Wright, Mike Piazza, and now Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Early on in his career, David Wright was really, really, really good. Then obviously the injuries sidelined the guy. Luis Severino on the hill tonight for the Mets. Peerless Boilers. Hey, thanks, Pete. Appreciate
it. Yeah,
we do. Oi! This is Sit and Friends in the Morning. Friends, how many of us have
them? Friends. 77 WABC.
Deborah Harry, Blondie, there you go. Call Me from the movie American Gigolo with Richard Gere. call me at 6:55 on your Monday morning. That was a great little piece on Greg Kelly, and he is 1,000% right. Again, I keep bringing up Peter King, and I don't care whether Peter King brings up Brian Kilmeade or Newt Gingrich. I don't care. This Ukraine thing is a complete disaster. It's a waste. Zelensky's a liar and a crook. That country is as corrupt as any country in the world, and we just keep writing checks. So Greg Kelly, excellent job. And now I'm even more happy to tell you that Greg Kelly was honored at a huge event I went to on Friday night. It was the annual Met Gala for the Metropolitan Republican Club. Last year, I received the Warren Brandeis Award for Integrity in Journalism. This year, they gave it to Greg Kelly and his father, Ray Kelly, the greatest police commissioner ever. It's Ray number one and Kerrick number two. Anybody who puts Bill Bratton in the same sentence at Ray Kelly is an idiot. Bratton's another guy that I'm not exactly sure. He's kind of like Zelensky. A lot of money went Bratton's way. Ray Kelly's the real deal. And he made a beautiful speech for his son, Greg. It really was. And the presenters were all great. You had Bernie Kerrick, Ray Kelly. You had my friend, the attorney Thomas Kniff, who is the attorney for Marine hero Daniel Penny, who saved lives on the subway. All the honorees included Greg Kelly, Trump attorney Alina Haba. She looked great. Gordon Chang was there with his wife, Lydia. He was terrific. And Tom Homan, who actually made me cry. But the funny part about the night was, first of all, congratulations to Ian and Krisha Lenzo for setting up this beautiful event. My friend Madison Malloy was there. Lydia Serrani was there. Johnny Tobacco, Tara Castronova, and my daughter Ava actually came with me. Danielle was in Tennessee, so Ava came with me. But the funniest part of the night was I'm sitting at a table with a guy named Gil Traub. And he is basically Mr. Bond Street here in New York. And he says, listen, I listen to you almost every day. I watched you at Columbia University. He goes, you're the guy we need. I go, thanks. I'm glad you like the show. He goes, no, you're the guy we need. I go, okay, great. But what are you talking about? He goes, you need to run for mayor. Now, I swear to you folks, on my father's memory, that was about 30 minutes after I met a guy named Jason Lochran at the bar, and Lochran works with some Republican Freedom Group, guys like General Michael Flynn and others. And Lochran, at the very beginning of the night, said to me, you need to run for mayor. So two different guys, the party's about 20 minutes old, I swear to God, go to me, you need to run for mayor. I said, no. My friend Curtis Lee, well, he's going to be the mayor. Nah, Curtis is a nice guy, but you're the guy. You look sharp. You're tough. You got it. You're the guy. I said, well, my wife has said she's going to divorce me if I run for any public office. And they were like, ah, she'll be fine. She'll get over it. Don't worry about it.
That's easy.
I said to Traub, I go, it requires a lot of money. Now, he's a multimillionaire. He says, first of all, I am willing to give my own money. I swear to God. And he goes, it'll take me literally two or three phone calls. I'll have $10 million by the morning. I said, are you serious about this? He goes, I'm dead serious. In fact, we need to meet this week somewhere on Bond Street and put this thing together. I go, no, I can't do it. I have got a job. You know, millions and millions of people, not just in New York, but all over the world, listening on the 77 WABC app, count on me every day. And to be completely honest, I'm endorsing Curtis Sliwa. He's Mr. New York. And the guy's like, no, he's not. You are. I said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll run a poll later on tonight. So I went for dinner Saturday night to La Sorrentina. It was me, Ava, and Gabe. My dear friend Thomas Mango and his son Adam Mango and Adam's buddy Eddie. So he put up a poll on Saturday night on my Instagram page. Who is the real king of New York? And he had four pictures on the poll. Jalen Brunson from the Knicks. Matt Rempe from the Rangers. Aaron Judge from the Yankees and me. And I received about 65% of the vote. And ran home with an easy win as the king of New York. Now, Curtis wasn't on that poll. And I think Curtis would have kept it close, if not won. But I did wake up on Saturday morning and just giggle that these guys are dead serious. Dead serious. They're like, you've got the medal. You've got the look. You've got it all. You'd win. I don't know. It just sounded silly, but should I do it, Noam?
If you're going to take on Sliwa in a primary, I'd like to see that happen, yeah.
Well, who would you endorse? Leo Curtis.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. I would endorse you.
Yeah. But what if I wasn't on the air right now and Curtis was on the air?
I would endorse Sliwa.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your honesty.
That's simple. That's no. Right.
Same thing with you, Lou. You would just endorse it was on the air?
I'd have to check with your Upper West Side friends first see how they felt.
No, he's downtown.
It.
He's on Bond Street.
No, I know that. I mean, I'm talking about how much you hated the Upper
oh,
West Side.
Oh, God, I hated
there.
Them. Yes. They hated me.
Yeah, that right.
They put a picture of me up in the lobby where I lived with my kids. And said, if you see this man without a mask, call the police.
Of course I'd endorse you. Of course, right. I'd be with you.
What about you, Alec?
I need a position, though. I need...
Yeah, I'm with
what
you.
What do you want to be?
I need a job.
I need...
Well, you'd all get jobs. Well, it's not like Eric Adams hires all of his buddies and brothers and...
Because if you're not... If you're on premiere, you can't do the radio show.
I can't?
No, you can't. That's right. Remember when Curtis ran? We had to take him off the air.
Yeah, I can't do that, can we?
No. Well,
but what's more important, me doing this radio show and saving the world, or me being mayor and saving the city?
It really depends if you can give me a job or not.
Of course I'll give you a job.
Okay. So then run. Fine.
What can you run?
I need
what can
something
you do?
To do. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never run a campaign before.
Maybe I'll put you in charge of, like, Jewish protecting Jews.
That's fine. Just give me a label. Just give me a label.
I'll say this.
Jew protector.
Jew protector.
Yeah, you'd be the Jew protector, yeah. In fact, if I was the mayor, I'd be sending you and your Jew protecting committee into Columbia today and ripping down those tents and arresting all those little bastards.
Yes.
No, he's ready to do that.
I'm ready.
I don't
that.
Care. I don't
that
care.
I'm qualified.
I don't care if Columbia calls or not. I'm calling. Okay. Here's how it's going to go, you stupid. But biatch, we're coming in. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Curtis would do the same thing. So
yeah, but
I mean, a part of me feels guilty that I even brought this up because I love Curtis and he's the right guy for the job. And you know, he's really going to run. I'm probably not, of course, but I was still flattered.
We should do a mock debate then, coming up, and see who wins.
Me and Curtis?
Yeah.
I don't have the time for that. God.
Well, you should have an interesting discussion coming up. That's all I
Well, I got to tell you, on my Instagram page on Saturday morning when I put it up there, half the people said you'd be better than Curtis. Mm-hmm. And the other half said, well, we're not sure who would be better, but we don't want to lose you in the mornings.
Right. See, that's the problem.
So either way, they were complimenting me, which I found.
Right, it's a win-win for you.
It's a win-win, right.
It's a win-win for you.
It's the perfect save the city or save the world. What does Sid do?
Right.
That's the
polls. I mean, I do partly save the world almost every day. There's somebody listening right now in Tel Aviv who's like, thank God for Sid.
Right. They were crawling. Now they're standing up saying, Sid got me up on my feet.
Like, I think doing this every day feeds into your ego a little bit more, which is nice.
You don't think I'd have my ego raised if I was the mayor of New York City?
I don't know. Not on a
mayor
daily,
Rosenberg?
Not on a daily basis.
Yeah, of course you do. On a daily basis, you get stroked like nobody's business.
Yeah, but
being
not
mayor.
If you're doing a good job.
Not when he's working with all
even the people
buffoons.
Around you, though.
Right.
Well, all the
right.
buffoons you're going to have to go through.
What are you talking about? They wouldn't work in my administration.
Okay, well, it's going to take you a couple of years to get rid of all of them. Mm. That's
I got
all.
Time. Where am I going?
All right. That's you're true. Not going anywhere, right.
I mean, it's
going
to take a long time to save this city, despite Eric Adams' contention. We've never been better in 12 years. Maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is going to take some time. Show some patience.
Okay, fine.
I got to bring the right people in.
That's fine.
Good.
I'll make LT my drug czar.
Oh. Right.
You got it all. That's good. Yeah. You got your whole cabinet lined up. Let's go.
Derek Strawberry. You can make your drug czar.
That's great.
<I don't know. laughs>
Joe Nolan, your transportation secretary.
Right.
Either him or Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. No more cars allowed now. Great.
I don't know. I got to think about it. So I'm supposed to have a meeting on Wednesday. This is for real. Supposed to have a meeting on Wednesday, and we'll see what the guy says. So.
Wow.
You can't make it up. The guy was dead. I mean, I got a text early Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Are you ready for this? Ready for what?
Exactly.
I'm going to the bagel store to
see
my
homage. There's your answer right there. Ready for what? Ready for what?
I'm tanning. I'm tanning right now. Would you leave me alone?
Yeah, 75 degrees. Don't bother me on a 75-degree day.
How can I run the city?
No, I was literally standing online at Beach Bagel with Muhammad, getting three bagels scooped out with cream cheese and lox when I got the text, are you ready for this?
Well, you're doing typical New York. That's why they want you.
I know. Who's more New York than me?
Not many people.
Gonna have to work.
I don't know. I know Curtis, because he does travel the subway more, although I take the subway every day, every single day. Every day.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a big sports guy around this city. I've got fans everywhere. Women love me.
Yeah.
I would definitely get the women vote over Curtis.
The women.
Yeah, they love me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. You're stupid.
Well, clearly not stupid if you're going to have a preliminary conversation about it.
I got to talk to Katz.
Okay.
Katz ran for mayor, didn't he, when I was
he
in
did.
Boca?
Yeah.
Well, he would know about all this stuff. Well, he doesn't want me to run for mayor because then he'd lose the morning show.
Who do we get?
Dominic Carter.
On the morning show?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm with you, man. I don't know.
I need my cabinet position. I love comedy.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to hold off my endorsement because I have a couple of things I want you to do ahead of time before you get
there. Really?
Mine.
Give me one of them.
I want a no-show, high-paying job.
Yeah, that's me too.
Isn't that kind of what you have right now anyway?
Kind of, yeah.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Breathing, rest his head on a pillow made of concrete. Again.
Kicking some ass, Monday morning, 7:18, sitting friends in the morning. Big Monday, going to be 80 degrees and sunny today. The Rangers have swept the Washington Capitals. And how about the Knickerbockers? How about Jalen Brunson? That was a game for the ages, folks. We talk about that great Game 7 that Walt Clyde Frazier had against the Lakers back in 69, and that was as good as it gets. But my God, what an effort by Brunson yesterday. And I know Joel Embiid was upset again because all the fans in Philadelphia, almost all of them, were Knicks fans. You know what's funny about that? I worked in Miami in sports talk radio for the better part of 11 years, and I never went to a Miami sporting event outside of when they got James Wade and Bosch, and all these former New Yorkers, these morons, started showing up in white T-shirts to go root for the Heat, but I went to Dolphin games. It was always the visiting team that had more fans, especially with the Jets or the Giants. Same thing with the Marlins. The Panthers have come alive now, but Miami, because so many people have moved there from Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, you see a lot of other team fans, but not in Philly. That was shocking yesterday. Joel Embiid, if you haven't found out, has also been banned from the Empire State Building. New York was so angry with the way he acted in that second game. He's been banned from the Empire State Building. So the Knicks are up 3-1. And it looks like they're going to take on Indiana, who shockingly now leads the Milwaukee Bucks 3-1. But But I told you about my night on Friday night at the Met Gala. And a bunch of folks, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not making it up, they were dead serious, who came up to me, approached me, and said, we've got money, we've got friends, I know you're friends with Curtis, you're the mayor. You need to be mayor. So with that said, here he is, gets big readings, doing the Rip and Read, noon to one every weekday afternoon, does a tremendous job hosting overnights on the weekends, and does his best work right here with me. About this time every weekday morning, the icon, the legend, Mr. Guardian Angel, and the guy that I'm endorsing for mayor, my friend Curtis Sliwa. Good morning, Curtis.
No. Don't endorse me. I need a primary. I really do. And now that all these people are pumped up on you, let's do it. Let's take it to Studio 77 right down the alley. And I'll tell you why you got a good shot at beating me. Because I've done the analytics. I've done the numbers. First of all, there it was. You said that you would be watching the Ranger game while putting your hand on your sweatpants while you were looking at Shesterkin in goal because he turns you on. That will get you the gable.
I don't remember that second part.
Oh,
let's
yes,
go with that.
I got the clips. But that'll get you the gable. The log cabin Republicans will vote for you. Your wife was away. I get it. She was at the half marathon. Okay, so you plagiarized yourself. This was great. And you had images in 1994. You were saying, just like your friend Tacopina, there was an earthquake then, there was an eclipse, and there was a Stanley Cup, Messier, and the last guy I put my hands down my sweatpants for, Richter, in goal. So now you got the gay vote, okay? You got the gay vote.
I got the gay vote, yeah.
You got the Italian vote because you always wanted to be a supreme cuisine.
Right.
And I'm at war with the cuisines from time to time.
Now, I fixed a lot of that, but the...
I know, but
the loyalties are still to me. I always tell these tough guys in the city who's got a big mouth when it comes to me, be careful. You have no idea who you're talking to. Just trust me.
Yeah, but...
I'm friends with all of them. The real ones, the big ones.
So you get the Italian vote. You get the Irish vote. I'm always dissing them, right? So you get the white
and
ethnic
vote. And I live
vote.
With the Irish. I live with
That's
the
right,
Irish.
Right, in the Irish Riviera. And more importantly, you get the Jewish vote because I wouldn't spend a second up at Columbia University. Remember what I told you. If students are not going to be tough and they're not going to fight for their turf and they abandon ship and I went home to mommy and put my booby in Zeta. When all of a sudden Johnson showed up with all your Republican congressman friends, they had a minion. The number of Jewish students left, you couldn't even form a minion. They let this black transgender who said, I'm a he, she, whatever I am today, start railing, kill all Zionists, right? And they let a black transgender chase them away. And let me give you a quote over the weekend when Columbia University waved the white flag and said, no, you can stay. You can occupy Columbia University. Pro-Palestinians, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, Jew haters. Here's a Jewish student, 26-year-old, said, I stand alongside the demonstrators for the Palestinians because I believe Jewish safety requires Palestinian liberation. He's a capitulator. He surrenders. He's ceasing to resist. So there, you and I disagree. From day one, I said, I'm not going up there unless Jews defend themselves. And I'm not talking about all the Jews who are outside. I recognize them. They came out in large numbers. Where were the Jewish students from Columbia?
They were home. It was Pesach.
Yeah, they were
Passover
home.
Ends tomorrow night.
No.
You're going to see Wednesday a huge amount of Jewish students out there kicking some ass.
Yeah, the only Jews I saw kicking ass were in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Arena because 80% of all Knicks fans are Jews. Without Jews, Madison Square Garden would be empty.
That's true, too.
Those are tough Jews. They went into Philly, the craziest fans in existence, kicked their butts. They came outside. They put a Nick jersey on the Will Chamberlain statue with the big schlong hanging out. That ain't an easy thing to do.
No, but listen, you make a fair point, and I've echoed your point about the Jewish kids. But I would go in because, to me, it's much bigger than the Jewish kids at Columbia. This is a worldwide anti-Semitism campaign. It's happening in my own city, and I'm not okay with it. So even though you make fair points about the kids, it's not about the kids. It's about doing what's right. I mean, you would admit, like I said last hour, if these were kids protesting blacks or protesting gays, How long would Eric Adams allow that to happen?
Well, you can't just say gays anymore. It's 50 other categories of one's sexuality. That's why I truly believe, Sid, put everything aside, the reason that these kids have occupied not only Columbia, but universities across the country and are self-hating Jews, because a lot of them are Jews, is they're not having sex anymore. They're not going out like the Beastie Boys says, fight for your right to party. Those Jewish kids who went to, who were Booker Boys, what they're doing is trying to pair up and they're realizing, oh my God, there are 50 different categories here. I'm so frustrated. Let me take it out by being pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah. They need to go out and have sex. This is the problem.
It's true. No,
I mean,
seriously.
You led the way.
Yes.
Look, over the weekend, you had your hand down, your sweatpants.
Oh, Danielle came back. Danielle came back yesterday. Don't worry.
All
I'm
right.
Fine.
All right. Oh, but wait, the Rangers, right? They're going to be against North Carolina. You have another opportunity. By the way, it stops prostate cancer.
Yes.
It stops prostate cancer.
That is a proven fact that masturbation gives you a better chance of not suffering from prostate cancer. So right off the bat, that's all the reason to do it.
And not only that, the other reason you'll beat me is you'll have the support of Chaz Palminteri, who said, wait a second, this city is not thriving. New York City is not the best ever. I saw a guy taking a dump on the corner in Midtown, and Sid Rosenberg on the subway said, I saw a guy taking a dump in the subway car.
I did. That was not that long ago. I've also seen guys do it in the street, just like Chaz Palminteri. But he brought up a very, very good point. And I've talked to Michael Kemper about this. You know, it's not just about, to Chaz's point, the crime stats. Maybe murders are down. I don't know. Maybe gun shootings are down. I don't know. But it doesn't seem, the perception, I know, it doesn't seem like it's safer or cleaner.
Well let me
it's
see.
It's gross.
Let me see. 400% increase in crime in Central Park. 50 women get punched in the face in broad daylight in lower Manhattan. And Eric Adams is telling Al Slim Shady Sharpton, oh, we're thriving, not surviving. This city is the greatest it's ever been.
I think he's making a major mistake, and I know Frank Carone is going to be angry with me. His brother Anthony still loves me, but if I was Eric Adams, here's what I would do.
Yes.
Okay? Just like Howard Stern, that moron, gave Joe Biden advice. We'll get to that.
Now that you mention his name.
We'll get to that.
You better talk to your friend Greg Kelly.
Oh, we'll get
to Who on Friday said, I love Stern.
We'll get to Howard. What I would be doing if I was Eric Adams, I'd be saying, the powers are against me. The forces are against me. I came into an almost impossible situation after 8 years of de Blasio. I feel like we've absolutely, absolutely made some headroom, but there is still a lot more work to be done. That's why you need me to win for a second time. Instead of saying, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I did it, I fixed it. Would that not be a better way to approach it?
Let me tell you, I'm like Apollo Creed now, listening to you with Don King.
I've got more to do.
I know, but you understand. Hearing this interview, I'm like Apollo Creed with Don King saying, I want that guy. I want that guy in a Republican primary. Oh, my God. Can we find him? Yes, get him in. Don't worry about it. This would be great.
He needs to be a little more, I'm not saying apologetic, but when you point out what you just pointed out,
yes.
50 women punched across the face, Central Park now more dangerous than it's been in 20-something years, and the subways and all this, he can't be doing these victory rides. Now, give me this. What happened with Greg Kelly and Howard Stern?
Oh, my God. He comes on Friday. He knows the softball interview already. He goes, no, I love Howard Stern until the ends of time. Followed up by that Mameluke Frank Morano. Oh, on the altar of idolatry. But to your credit, let me give credit where credit is due, even though you're going to be my opponent in the upcoming Republican primary. And by the way, you know, if given a chance, I want to go to that meeting with Michael Traub and encourage him.
Gil Traub,
whatever his name. And the guy who...
Jason Loughran.
Michael Flynn will support you.
Yes.
Remember, the last guy he supported was Fernando Mateo against me in the Republican primary. Bring it up, baby.
But I will get the one endorsement that'll bury you, all kidding aside. And he'll be back on Trump 1, not Air Force 1, tomorrow. I would get a huge, loud endorsement from President Trump.
Yes, you will.
That's about, that hurts you.
And I'm telling
that
you.
That hurts you.
Hey, look, the advantage is yours, Sid. I need a primary opponent. Bring it on. But you know, I will use against you, you were on.
You're about to give me credit just now.
Yeah, but I will play cuts of you. You were the host of Whack-A-Mole Stern Bowling. Right?
Whack-Pack Bowling.
Whack-Pack Bowling, which, I mean, sounds really bizarre.
Oh, it was great. I tell you what, we went to this bowling alley.
Yes.
It was in Harlem. It was on Adam Powell Clayton Boulevard.
By the way, was Stern using the N-bomb then?
He wasn't there, so he didn't do those shows. So let me give you what happened. I get to the second floor of some office building on a hot summer morning in Harlem. The year, I believe, was 2007. And the elevator door opens, and who's staring at me right in the face? Beetlejuice. Jeff the Drunk, you had Fred Elephant Boy, who has since passed away, all of the Whack Pack members, and there was a bowling alley there. And I spent about 8 hours taping four episodes of Whack Pack Bowling, and Howard, who had me on for a couple of times before that, brought me back to talk about the experience, and at that point, I loved him.
Wow! What was it? Why did you leave out Chris Schenkel of the professional bowling tour? And yes, here at Whack Pack Bowling in Harlem, where they're dropping the M-bomb a mile a minute, right?
They're
wearing sandwich board signs outside with the big N-word on it. I mean, come on, man. I want you to get in. I got so much material. I will be at it. And when you run that poll tonight, I'll probably be down 90 to 10.
No. People want you to be the mayor.
No.
They do. Because first of all, you are more New York than me. Second of all, you are a fighter. I'm a fighter. But you've been doing this for real for like 40 years. And people don't want me off the radio. So I believe if I put up a poll, you would destroy me.
No.
Destroy me.
No. It would be 90 to 10.
Yes,
you'll get all for toots, all these money people in Manhattan.
Well,
By the way,
if I put up a poll on WABCRadio.com,
yes,
and it's 90 to 10 me,
yes,
I'm jumping in.
Good. You see, this is the problem. All these guys live in Manhattan. Manhattan elected Alvin Bragg, like 80 to 20, right? Over Tom Kniff, who should have been the DA, right?
Yes.
I know, because I was campaigning with Kniff. It was me and Kniff, right? So, yeah, tell these Manhattan people, come on, give me your money. You can't even deliver Manhattan.
Noam, do you do anything with the website? Don't you do something with that?
Come on, Noam.
With our website?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
So put up a poll on the homepage.
Okay.
If, in fact, there was a primary, Republican primary for mayor, Curtis Sliwa and Sid Rosenberg, who would you vote for?
Okay, so which name should I put at the top?
Curtis.
No.
Listen,
Sid,
Curtis is going to win.
Because this is always an issue. Who's the person whose name's on top, you know.
Now, you're right about that with the radio show. It's right.
I'm the Polish guy. I'm the Pole. So put me in second.
No.
I might get the anti-Semitic vote.
He's going to kill me. I want him to kill me. I want Curtis to be mayor.
No, I need a primary.
I didn't want this. They came up to me.
It's okay.
Here's the difference. You want this. They want me. You want this. They want me.
It's good. You're King David II. You're going to go liberate those little wussy Jewish kids up at Columbia University.
It's bigger than them.
Some black transgender says, kill all Zionists.
Who is that? Is that crackhead Barney?
No. It might as well be. They just ran away.
Hey, I'm going to say this. You know, for Alec Baldwin got his ass kicked by crackhead Barney last week. Let me take you back to the Columbus Day Parade. When I'm standing outside my El Dorado, my convertible El Dorado with Joe Tacopina, and this same person, this crackhead Barney, came up and interviewed me, and how did I do?
Oh, great.
Right?
By the way, not only did I do great with crackhead Barney, we shared jail cells. She was in the jail cell next to me. Remember when I got arrested at Creedmoor trying to start the illegal
alien
invasion?
She got arrested too?
Yes, right in the cell next door.
Why did she get arrested?
Because she was pushing cops and they grabbed her. They didn't know what she was. I knew who she was.
Put her on the list as the third primary candidate.
So there are 13 guys, right, get arrested with me, all in the same cell. And this old alt-cocker, Phil Orenstein, of the Queens Village Republicans, he's like 94 years old. He goes to take a dump. I said, no, you can't do that. These toilets never work. I'm a veteran. You got to squeeze your legs and hold it. He goes, I can't. My goiter, my goiter. I said, I don't care if it drips down your legs. You cannot take a dump in this jail cell, Phil. The poor guy doubled over. I'm telling you, I'm the veteran of getting arrested. I know what to do. You never do that in your cell, or everybody's going to give you a beat down. But I survived crackhead Barney. You survived crackhead Barney. So let's get it on. Studio 77, let's begin the process. King David II, King of all Jews, versus Curtis Sliwa. Oh, the odds are against me. It's 90 to 10. But I look so forward to this, ladies and gentlemen. I look so forward to this on WABC. Oh, God. This is better than sex. To be up at that podium. We give it an opportunity. Just like when I eviscerated Fernando Mateo. They'll say, but I thought he was your friend. Yeah, guess what? This is like organized crime. We went out to have dinner. We had drinks. We shared gumadas. And then I put two slugs in the back of his head and went back to having my chicken parmesan sandwich. And I gave the guy a great eulogy. Yeah!
Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Fox to Benajan. Panarin. Score! Artemi Panarin! It's a power play goal! Rangers lead 3-2. And this one is over. The Rangers sweep it. The New York Rangers sweep the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Igor Shesterkin with a brilliant series. The Rangers' first sweep of a best-of-seven series since the 2007 sweep of the Atlanta Thrashers.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, the good news is the Rangers, while they'll play some games on the road, have home ice advantage throughout. Happy 91st birthday today to the great Willie Nelson, singing right here. Willie Nelson turning 91 today. But the Rangers, of course, won the President's Trophy, so they'll be home as they await the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes up 3-1. The Isles staved off a sweep with a win in game 4, but you would think tomorrow night that series will be over, and that sets up a very, very tough second-round matchup between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. That was a lot of fun with Curtis. John Katsimatidis will join me next hour, and I think a debate may be happening. I'm not running. I mean, stop, silly. But it made for good fodder. But getting back to the Rangers for a second. So I live a couple blocks away from Timothy Klein's parents. And you may remember the name Timothy Klein. Most New Yorkers do. The Canarsie kid, Brooklyn firefighter, who was killed 2 years ago. In fact, it was just last week where they had a 2-year memorial lunch at Jameson's, Louis' favorite place, there on 129 in Bell Harbor, Eric McManus's old place. So I've been living in that area now for about 2 years, and I've talked about Tim Klein about 1,000 times, Lou, about 1,000. They've even renamed 129th Street to Timothy Klein Way. I love that.
Yep.
But I've never met the parents. You know, I take the bus to the gym every now and then. Like this weekend, Danielle was in Nashville. I had to take the bus to the gym, and the bus is right across the street from the Klein's house. I'd never met him. I was talking to Kevin Breslin, Jimmy's son. He seems to know him. And he's like, go knock on the door. I'm like, I'm not going to knock on the door. I know I'm famous, big deal, but I'm not going to do that. So as luck would have it, after like 2 years, a couple of days ago, I'm waiting for the bus, and I see Timothy's mother, lovely lady, Diane, working on the garden. And I walked over. I said, Miss Klein? She said, Sid. She knew I was right away. I ran into my arms, gave me the nicest hug, just a lovely, lovely lady. You can tell she's still beat up, obviously. But she said something nice. She said, you know, you have a child, and you raise that child, and you just want people to kind of love them, you know. And she said, man, are we finding out how many people loved and love our son. So now, fast forward it to Friday, 2 days later. Again, I'd never seen either one of them. And I'm going back to the bus stop, and boom, there's his father, Pat Klein. And we had a longer conversation about the Rangers, about their three daughters, Tara, Bridget, and Erin, about Tim's, at the time she was, I guess, his fiance. They treat her as a daughter. She moved here from, one of his daughters moved back here from Texas. Long conversation. It was very, very nice. And he's a great guy. And I was so happy that I finally had the chance to meet both on different days, Pat and Diane Klein, the parents of hero firefighter Timothy Klein. And I said to Pat, I said, I'm a Ranger fan my whole life because, you know, in both their homes, the parents' house and the house that Tim was going to live in before he died with his fiance, they had these huge Ranger signs. And when Tim died, there was a huge Ranger floral arrangement on the lawn. They love the Rangers. And I said, I'm going to dedicate this whole Ranger run on my show to the memory of your son. So I was happy the Rangers made quick work of Washington. This is not going to be easy. When they eventually take on Carolina in the second round, this may be harder than Boston or Florida later. But regardless, I'm going to say it here, what I said to Pat Klein a couple of days ago, I am dedicating this Ranger run to the memory of Tim Klein, his parents, Pat and Diane, and his three sisters, Tara, Bridget, and Erin.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
All right, nice job on my girl Gina Fina there in that social media office with Dougie and Stephanie. The poll is up. And I predicted that Curtis, although he said I would win 90 to 10, I said, no, you're going to win 90 to 10 because, you know, this is something that you want. You've done it before. You're in better position. Really the more capable candidate. I want no part of this. I mean, you got to be nuts to run for office. But, you know, you get a couple of millionaires in New York that go, Sid, let's do this. So I brought it up, and it was enough to create the poll idea. And the early returns have Curtis Sliwa doing what he should be doing, which is killing me. So, but then if we ran a poll who should do the morning show, Curtis or Sid, I would kill him. So, see the difference there, Noam?
I do. As your campaign manager, I just want you to give it a little more time. We're only 7 minutes into the campaign, and the numbers
like
are not good.
20% of the vote, though.
No, you only have 18 currently. But that could change very quickly. Go to WABCradio.com. You can vote, and the numbers could change in the next half hour.
Well, I don't want them to change. I want Curtis to kill me, which make me even feel better about never wanting to do this. My fear is that if I do well in something like this, I may be crazy enough to even think about this, which I can't because Danielle said she'll leave me, which...
Right.
No, I can't do that.
No.
Nothing is more important to me than my wife. So.
Of course.
Right. But if I win, I'll have to struggle with the idea. But if he kills me, then it's nice and easy, you know?
You know what? Just in the last 30 seconds, a surge of new votes have come in.
Yeah.
And the numbers have changed.
Am I doing better?
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, no. But again... you just announced this less than a half hour ago, so people have
anything.
To get ready for it.
Well, I didn't announce anything.
Well, that you're thinking about it. Anyway.
No, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm telling you that very wealthy, influential New Yorkers want me to do this. I don't want to do this.
Well, you're going to have that meeting on Wednesday, and who knows what they'll tell you.
Well,
they might
know,
convince
right.
you.
Sure. and then I'm going to talk to Trump. And I'll get Trump's endorsement, then we'll see how tough these voters are.
Oh, wow, he's really up. Oh, okay.
How bad is it?
89 to 13?
That's 102. Doesn't even make any sense. I mean, 89-11.
Well, no, 13.7. I mean, there's points. It goes out to decimal points.
Oh, okay.
So it should. Yeah, whatever, it does add to.
What a mess. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. NBC Politico. He does it all. He's the best. I love him on a Monday morning. Rich Lowry. Good morning, Rich. How are you, buddy?
Sid, sounds like you're the Nikki Haley of this online poll.
Pretty much. Yeah, Nikki Haley. That's worse. I'm more like Chris Christie.
Congrats to your Rangers. My Capitals really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. The wild card race in the East was a joke, at least for the last pole position. But it's good to get the sweep. I'm going to play fewer games rather than more.
I got to tell you, that for me, I'm not surprised the Rangers swept them because, like you said, the Caps had to have a great last month and a half, really behind the goaltender, the Ranger defenseman's brother, Charlie, to get there. But the play of Ovechkin was really disappointing. He had a great second half. He propelled the Capitals to the playoffs. He did nothing in this series. Nothing.
Yeah, well, the Caps, it was about 10 games left in the season, and they lost 6 out of 7 and somehow stayed in the wild card race and then won the last 3. But we'll see. Playoff hockey's great. I didn't pay much attention to this one because I knew the result.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be over. So we'll see your Rangers and Hurricanes. So let me ask you about a person, which I know you wrote about in the National Review. And I believe the person's name is Kamani James.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks are not going to know that name. No, it's not LeBron's brother. Kamani James, who is this person, and why does this person yield so much power in New York City?
Yeah, so Kamani James is this freak who said he wants to kill Zionists, right? And he posted this to his own Instagram, this rant about Zionists, which was a while ago. But for me, it says so much about this moment in our culture and in academia that the foremost anti-Semite at Columbia, of course, is transgender. You know, he goes by he, she, and they. And he had this rant with two Columbia administrators, like, I'll kill Zionists, you know, if they get in my face, you know, when I fight for real, and I'll probably fight to kill. And they're like, do you see anything inappropriate about that? He's like, no. And then he stopped with them and went on in private with even crazier things. And we didn't hear anything about this, you know, we never would have known, right? They just let him walk out and become the leader of this protest. And I don't know if you've seen the video of it's at night, and the protester, someone screams, "There's a Zionist in the encampment," and then they all do this like call and response thing, so everyone repeats, "There's a Zionist in the encampment," and then they all get together and start marching, you know, like brown shirts or something, to confront this one or two Jewish kids. And it's this guy Kamani James who's at the head of these people. So it's disgusting. You know, and this is what elite education created this guy. The anti-Americanism, the anti-Semitism, the sense of entitlement, it's rotten to its core.
It's more than disgusting. It does, for me at least, beg the question of, is it even legal? So we're going to take a short break. I actually cut a video from the same chair. I've got a chair, Rich Lowry, in my family room at home. And I sat in that chair on Sunday, October the 8th. And I sat in that chair the day after Iran attacked Israel a couple of weeks ago. And I sat in that same exact chair yesterday. Sunday morning, I have my coffee. And before I watch Maria Bartiromo, I usually cut a video. It's only 60 seconds long. And I talked about the First Amendment and what people like Kamani James and these animals on campuses all over New York City can, and in my opinion, shouldn't be able to get away with. More of Rich Lowry coming back.
On my shoulder, feeling kind of older, I trip the merry-go-round with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing. The calliope crashed to the ground. Some old hothead shot was hit for a hot spot, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. If some flesh was mascot was tied to a lover's knot with a whatnot in her hand. And now young Scott with a slingshot finally found a tender spot and throws his lover in the sand. And some bloodshot forget-me-not whispered daddy's whisper.
within earshot, save the bus shot, turn up the van. Now she was blinded by a light. Oh, cut loose like a noose, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. She got down, but she never got tight, but she'll make it all right.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Sid Rosenberg with you, back in the same chair I was sitting in after the October 7th attacks and after Iran attacked Israel a couple weeks ago. Here to tell you that these strict constitutionalists who tell you these animals on these campuses have a First Amendment right, here to tell you they are full of No, they don't. When you start talking about Final Solution, which is what the Nazis talked about when they exterminated 6 million Jews, when people are getting violent on campuses, intimidating and threatening and actually hitting people. That is not a First Amendment right. It is time for city officials, state officials, federal officials to step in and do their jobs, protect the Jewish students and protect the Jewish people. I am so sick and tired of the rights for everybody else. What about us? Get your f***ing act together.
So that was me from my, you could tell, I just woke up, voice a little, you know, groggy Sunday morning. But I was so angry after Judge Napolitano was here, body, I've heard Marano and others say it. This is a First Amendment right. I think I actually heard Napolitano, who I love dearly, say, I'd be sitting right there with the students. I mean, you got to be kidding me. First Amendment right? They start bringing up the Final Solution. They killed 6 million Jews. They're waving Hezbollah flags. That's a First Amendment right? If it is, I got news for you. The Constitution is outdated. And I know strict constitutionalists are going to yell at me, Sid, shut up. The Constitution is perfect. If this is okay, if the Constitution says this is okay, it ain't perfect. What do you think about that, Rich Lowry? That's right. I'm going after the Constitution. This cannot be okay anymore. It can't.
Well, I draw a couple of distinctions. If they rented... legitimately rented a lecture hall, and they had someone come in and say Israel doesn't have the right to exist as a settler or a colonial state and should be wiped from the map. That's free speech. Trespassing, one, is against policy and illegal. Two, harassing people is against policy and shouldn't happen. And three, if you can actually have a free speech attitude, it needs to be viewpoint neutral. So tell me, do you believe that if these were white supremacists chanting all this anti-Semitic stuff, the school would be negotiating with them?
Well, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Forget about the school, because I made this point. It's funny you say this. I've made this point twice already this morning. Forget about the school. I saw Mayor Eric Adams on with Al Sharpton, MSNBC. They played a clip. And Adams said, look, if the school doesn't call us, we're not going in. It's not our jurisdiction. We're not going in. I said to Curtis this morning, I said, what you just said, what if they were protesting blacks? Do you think Eric Adams would wait for the school to call? I asked four guys on my show. Without any hesitation, they all said, no way. They would go against that. They'd be on that campus today. Don't you agree? Forget about the school. The mayor would be there.
A threat to every New Yorker if blacks are being threatened, and Eric Adams would go in. But, Sid, it's not just that who's being victimized that makes a difference. It's who the perpetrators are. It's left-wing anti-Semitism is okay, or gets much more room for maneuver than anti-Semitism of the right. And I'm like you. I hate it all. You know, it all should be condemned. It's all horrible. But if these kids were white supremacists, they would have been gone the first day, never to come back. They would have been expelled. And by the way, that's how you stop all this. Expel a couple kids. Make the threat. Say whatever it is, you know, wherever the line is. And when someone crosses it, expel them. And they would all go home immediately.
So I've been doing this for 25 years, okay? And you know, I'm one of those guys that is not uncomfortable telling everybody how great I am. But I learned from some of the all-time greats. I was on and off the Imus on the Morning Show for 18 years. Say what you want about Don Imus. He was one of the all-time greats. I listened to Howard Stern every day. I was a guest of his four times and even hosted Whack Pack Bowling on Howard TV. And I've always said, and I'll include Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, anybody you want, when it comes to hosting radio, Howard Stern, my opinion, is in a total class by himself. It's over. after what I saw this weekend with Biden, I have kind of bit my tongue the last couple of years over Howard's relationship with Stephanopoulos and all these horrible liberals and how Howard has basically sold out. I've still found a way. I still found a way to call him great. If you're hearing this, it's over. Lewis, cut number three.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
So clearly, the last, I don't know, 3 years, I've been missing all this because Howard Stern, to say he was gushing is an understatement. Howard Stern sounded so stupid there, did he not?
Yeah, father of our country?
Like, what?
Is Biden the czar? It's
and he's such a great dad. I mean, no, he's such a great dad. Look at Hunter. What a great job.
Yeah. And it's like he's, this is what an NPR interviewer, or how he would interview Joe Biden if he had no self-respect, right? That's what it sounds like. You know, he's using the dulcet, soft tones. You know, you're so wonderful, sir. And half of what he said is wrong. So he doesn't know anything.
Nothing.
So I was never a huge Howard Stern fan, but obviously he was. If you say he's great, he was great, and he was, you know, he was outrageous, right? And this is the opposite of, or it's outrageous, but in an embarrassing way, because he's become part of the elite and absorbed kind of elite political attitudes. So that was embarrassing.
Embarrassing. I mean, here's a Howard Stern that I actually loved. This dates back 25 years ago, Rich. But this is the Howard that I loved in a phone call with President Trump. Cut number four, Lewis.
President Donald Trump is on the phone.
My
theory is that Donald is really not running for president.
You think he's just promoting a book?
Yeah, he doesn't need the commission. Donald.
Hi, Howard.
How are you?
But I am having a good time.
Mr. President.
Well, you have to endorse me, Howard.
Yes, sure, I'll endorse you. What else have I got to do?
Tell you what, this country won't be ripped off anymore, Howard.
I know, you'll get a good deal.
We'll get good deals.
Well, guy's a great businessman.
Oh, yeah.
You got
lots of good deals and lots of lower taxes.
Let me talk to that broad in your bed.
I could almost have her talk to you.
You could? Let me just say that.
Actually, she's outside in another room listening to this.
What is she doing next? What is she wearing?
I don't know. Maybe I should get her in. Do you want me to get her in?
Yeah, let me talk to her for a second. Let me talk to her. What's her name again? Melanie?
It begins with an M.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
You are so hot.
Oh, thank you.
I see pictures of you. I can't believe it. You're a dream.
This son of a bitch is literally humiliating Trump's, you know, at the time, fiance or wife, I don't know, hitting on her. That was his shtick. I understand all that. Telling him how great he is. He's a great businessman. He'd be a great president. Listen to that Stern and the Stern 25 years later with Biden, and now you know why I've turned on him, right?
Yeah, but that was good radio, right?
Right!
You'd listen to that.
Right!
If I were driving and listening to that and stopped in my garage, I'd stop and see how it turned out, right?
That's right. He was great back then. He's a sellout now. Let's get to Trump. He is not in court today. He's back in court tomorrow. He's now been in court for 8 days. All that David Pecker testimony last week. We still haven't heard, of course, from Cohen or Daniels yet. Depending upon what you watch, like I saw Greg Jarrett say that David Pecker's testimony on Fox News actually helped Trump. What did you see last week?
I don't see how it's relevant. Those he wasn't involved in the Stormy Daniels payment, and this isn't about paying women to keep them quiet. That's not the alleged crime. I just think this is, it gets me angrier and angrier every day that you have a presidential candidate stuck in that room, you know, for 4 days a week, And if this case, if he's acquitted or this case is overturned on appeal, where does he go to get that time back? You know, that's a precious resource in a presidential campaign. And they're just sucking it up. And this case is ridiculous. You know, now we know the other crime is also a misdemeanor, right? So it's supposed to be a felony. The misdemeanor becomes a felony because it was in the commission of another crime. Well, the other crime is this New York election law, supposedly, and that's a misdemeanor. So you're adding up two misdemeanors to make them 34 felonies. It's totally outrageous in every respect.
And yet, odds are he's still going to be convicted, yes?
Yeah, I would say like 30% chance. There's a juror just says no, you know, and it's a hung jury, or you know, you it becomes a misdemeanor, and then you have an issue with the statute of limitations having expired on the misdemeanor, which is another outrage here. So, you know, 20-30% chance that he's not convicted of a felony, which would be a big victory. But still, the trial itself is the punishment. It doesn't matter the outcome. I mean, they desperately want the outcome. But even if they don't get it, to have kept a presidential candidate locked up like this for a couple months is crazy and serves their purposes, and they all know it.
It does, but it doesn't. Because what if I said to you that this last weekend the new polls came out and Trump lengthened his lead? That's what happened.
Yeah, there's a good CNN poll for him. You know, Biden, I think, was at 46. An incumbent president had 46. So, and Trump's using his time, you know, with the statements before and after he goes in. There was that great moment for him last week with the hard hats, which is just incredible. Chanting USA, just so into him. So, and that stuff gets played, right? Because everyone's obsessed with the trial. But still, this is not what you'd want your candidate to be doing in isolation. He very well might win anyway. I still favor him, but it's just wrong. It's just deeply wrong what's happening.
You are right. Rich Lowry, as always, excellent job. Love having you on Monday mornings. Have yourself a great week, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
My man.
You need a John Meacham. I'll be your John Meacham for the mayoral. I'll write these vaulting speeches for you, then I'll go on Morning Joe and say how brilliant and sensitive you are.
All right, done. You're hired. That is the great Rich Lowry. Man, he's funny. Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review and Politico and NBC and all of it. And we got a live in studio guest coming up next. He usually calls in 8:15 every Monday. He's about to join me live. Mr. Red Apple himself, the host of Katz and Cosby, 5 o'clock every weekday afternoon, and the Katz Round Table, 8 a.m. every Sunday morning. The great John Katz Matidis set to join me next on Sid and Friends in the morning.
Is Sid and Friends in the morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
All right, 8:22 on your Monday morning. Been a great show already. Curtis Sliwa, Rich Lowry. We put this time aside every Monday for the man himself, Mr. Red Apple Media, amongst other things, Red Apple Everything. The host, of course, 5 p.m. every weekday afternoon, Katz and Cosby, 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, the Katz Round Table. Most importantly, my dear, dear friend, the great John Katz and Matidis. John, lots of places to go. Let's start with this. So I'm having this back and forth with Curtis this morning. I have no desire to run for office.
I was listening, but listen, it'll make a great debate.
Right, so you said let's do it.
Look at the popularity Dominic and Anthony Weiner got.
That's true, you're right.
I mean, they're really popular. I mean, Anthony says maybe it should be a two-hour show.
No, people do listen to that.
I got to give them extra aspirin. I don't want any of them to get a heart attack.
They do yell quite a bit, which is exciting. It's entertaining.
Well, look, they both are emotional about the way they feel, and that's the way – hey. That's the way politics is supposed to be. And that's what we do between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. You know, we're beating Hannity 3-1.
Oh, you're killing him. Killing him. Yeah, well, it's a much better show.
But listen, we have a lot of guests. We have Democrats. We have Republicans. You know what we do? We argue between 5 and 6. and then we hug each other.
Right, that's it. Nobody cares. Nobody feel the cares. Same way, yeah. But the issue with me and Curtis becomes is that unlike Wiener and Dominic or some of your guests at 5 o'clock, I feel like Curtis and I are in agreement with just about everything. Just about everything.
Well, maybe I'll jump in the middle and moderate.
Maybe you'll get us going.
Either we get Dominic to moderate. We'll see. We'll make it up.
It'll be fun. But when you ran for mayor, on a serious note, I would never do it, but when you ran for mayor in 2013, wasn't it hard, John? They start to pick at your personal life, and they throw everything out there in front of the public.
They went back to some of my high school friends to look for things that I didn't disclose.
Right.
They do. They check everything.
They get nasty.
Sid, I don't want to say anything. You can't run for mayor.
You sound like Danielle. I'm not running for mayor. Trust me.
I'm not your lawyer. Yeah. You know, I'm just an amateur lawyer. Sid. But, you can't run.
Not a good idea, right? Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
But listen, we'll have a lot of fun. Let's debate it.
Right, why not? Let's see what happens. Because there's enough to debate in the city. I could debate this
we'll
right now.
We'll take an hour away from Mark Levin. He'll be mad at you. and do a special debate because we're allowed to do special debates.
He may not get mad at me because it's not Andrew Cuomo, it's me. But one of the things that was mentioned in the city this weekend that will not be a debate between me and Curtis, I promise you that, because we agree on this. On Stuart Varney's show, which are going on this morning at 11 o'clock, John and Stuart Varney. Varney had the actor Chaz Palminteri on. Good friend of ours, you and I.
Yes.
And he told Chaz that Mayor Eric Adams said a couple days ago that this is the best New York we've seen in 12 years. And he said
it on my show.
He did on your show, too?
Yeah.
So he said, Chaz, what are you thinking? Chaz said,
he was on either Thursday or Friday at 5:30. Hey, after a while, you know, it goes into, you know, you don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. But look, it's better, but it's not getting there. But it's not there yet. It's better in a lot of respects, but it's not there yet. And we got to do what we have to do to save the city, Sid. This is our city.
It's better than it was under de Blasio, is what you're saying.
Oh, definitely was.
Okay.
But it's definitely better under de Blasio. Under de Blasio, I can't believe, you know, I like Bill de Blasio. You know that as a person. But I you know what I see in my eyes when I think of Bill? The people running into Macy's and Bill de Blasio telling the cops don't do anything.
I remember
that. Was wrong.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
And I just can't forget that. By the way, I was almost late for this show this morning going through the Midtown Tunnel. There must have been 100 cops and 100 state troopers.
Wow.
Pulling over every car they selected.
What is that all about?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know, but something is rotten in wait. It used to be rotten in Denmark. Something's rotten in New York.
New York City. You know, talking about traveling through the Midtown Tunnel and coming into the city, you know they're about 6 weeks away from the beginning of congestion pricing. The MTA has decided.
God. I mean, this is so wrong. This is so wrong. You know what I said to all the politicians? I said to all of them, wait for New York to make a comeback first. Why do you want to suck their blood before it makes a comeback? It's like we have one nail in the grave, and they want to put a second nail in. Let New York make a recovery. I mean, we can make a recovery. If we get this this city clean of crime, and I said that to every politician in Albany. I said it to the governor. I said it to, our speaker of the assembly. I said, there's 3,300 violent criminals. 8.5 million New Yorkers in New York City. Who do you want who do you want to serve? The 8.5 million New Yorkers or the 3,300? Now, some of them are mentally ill. Some of them are repeat criminals. Well, put the 3,300 away forever. It used to be Rockefeller, one strike, two strikes, three strikes, you're out. All right, make it five, make it ten.
No, three's enough. Three's enough. And I would say this.
Get him off the streets.
But it's not just crime. I mean, you heard this story that Chaz talked about watching, and I've seen the same thing on the train and on the streets. Somebody defecating right there in the street in the middle of the day.
It's now you not
got
right.
Now you got these animals on our campus universities. They're not part of the 3,300 people you're talking about, but they're terrorists.
It's not right. And I've said it on and again. I said it over the weekend to a few senators I had on Sunday morning. I've said it to Rick Scott, made big news over on Sunday.
Like him. Yes, he did.
And the fact is that when I came to the United States, 6 months old, when I was 6 years old, I swore allegiance to the United States of America. If these are migrants, if these are green card holders, well, they're never going to become citizens. And if they hate the United States the way they do, get out of here. We don't want you. If you hate the United States, go F yourself.
No, I agree, but I feel like some of these politicians hate the United States. I mean, I got to tell you, John, all I hear from our politicians, including Eric, is can't do nothing about it.
You can do something
about
it.
Well, he says he can. He can't get the students out of Columbia. He can't get the migrants back.
I agree with Eric on a lot of things like you do. You are friends.
Yeah.
But this particular
thing.
Well,
he lost me now, though. So he lost me.
He's going to lose a lot more people if he doesn't put his foot down.
Right.
It's time. Look, the election is only a year and a half away.
Can you make an argument that I've been down to Columbia University and the mayor hasn't? Can you make a logical argument for that?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Except, don't forget, the White House has a gun in his head.
Let me ask you this.
Do you think Donald Trump would care?
You think Donald Trump would care? He's been indicted four times. Do you think if they put a gun to his head, he would still do what's right?
Yeah, I think he would still do what's right.
Right.
What they're doing with him, the rule of law is broken. And the thing with the Supreme Court doesn't have an army. Supreme Court doesn't have a navy. The Supreme Court doesn't even have the FBI on their side because they report to the Department of Justice that reports to the politicized Department of Justice. And it's a problem.
You're friends with Trump. I mean, when I say friends, you've talked to him over the years. He's even asked you for advice. You're too humble to say it.
I know him for 40 years, 45 years. You know, is he a friend? He's an acquaintance, a good acquaintance for 50 years, 45 years. But you know what a friend is? At 5 o'clock, if you have nothing to do, you call him up and say, let's have dinner. That's a friend.
That's a friend.
So I can't say Donald Trump is a friend.
He hasn't done that. Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean, do you know anybody he went to dinner with on a phone call?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. No. You're right about that. So it's not that personal. But you feel badly what he's going through right now.
No. Absolutely. I think he would look. Bill Barr, who was the Attorney General of the United States, hated Donald Trump. He hated Donald Trump. You know what Bill Barr did last week?
He endorsed Trump.
He says it is far better to have Donald Trump as president than to have the extreme socialist, the leftist and the socialist in charge of the United States, because the United States, if they stay in charge, Sid, will never make 2076 the 300th year of the United States of America.
True.
And several other U.S. senators have said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And I love the United States of America. You love it. And we worry not about ourselves. We'll be okay. We're tough enough to be okay. We worry about our kids and grandkids to come.
You said it perfectly. So on the way out, it was great that Bill Barr endorsed Donald Trump. But what will make me really happy is if everybody at Cindy Adams' birthday party last week would endorse Donald Trump.
Well, that was some birthday party. You know, she invited 50 of her best friends. You know, the first time we got in trouble, the party I gave Cindy last year, she only invited 12 or 14 of her best friends.
Oh,
you know what that is?
Oh.
And after that, it was in Cindy's column.
Oh.
I got the phone calls. I got the blame.
She knows everybody.
Yeah, and I got the blame. This year, she had it at her apartment, and she invited 50 of her best friends.
That's nice.
And when I tried to put in one more, number 51, she said, absolutely not.
She drew the line at 50.
She drew the line at 50.
That's it.
She is one tough gal at the age of 94. She is one tough gal. Let me tell you something. She's got her mind 110%.
Oh, yeah.
Her show on Sunday is terrific. She tells stories from yesteryear that these stories, Let me tell you something. These stories we're going to keep in archives because they're stories that nobody has ever heard before.
I was talking to somebody last week, and we both agreed that she's basically been the voice. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, she was New York. She was a voice. So she's been that for decade after decade. I love her. I love Cindy Adams. So Bill O'Reilly will be on your show this afternoon, right? He's on every Monday.
He's on every Monday, 5:45. And listen, he is one tough guy. He is one smart guy. He thinks things out. I don't agree with him on everything sometimes.
Me
but
too.
Me too. He thinks things out, and he says it the way he feels. And he's one tough Irish guy.
Yes, and you'll be on with Stuart Varney coming up at 11 o'clock. And I would imagine that, you know, you came on this show last week. There was a big story in the New York Post. Very exciting news for your company, Red Apple, that now you're getting into these smaller nuclear reactors. That's part of your business now.
That is the future, Sid.
You think so?
Windmills. Solar cells. And windmills, forget about it.
Forget it.
They'll do 2%, 4%. But they can't run the country. I mean, whoever thinks that solar cells and windmills are going to run the country, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge at a good price.
That's AOC.
But it's not threatening to anybody. It's the same nuclear reactors in the nuclear submarines, safe for 60 years. So you're taking these nuclear reactors and putting them in, converting them to land modules.
Gotcha.
So you know how big they are. They're not that big.
Right.
And they could run a whole city for 67 years.
And how long do you think it'll be before those actually are in
place?
The
first one is scheduled to be installed by 2031.
So you're talking about another 7 years. And are you guys basically the only company right now that's going to build those domestically?
There's a few companies that are out there trying to do it. And there's a race to the top. I'm sure some of them will go broke.
I'm sure. Up against you, they better. Well, you are the man. Thank you for this. What a great conversation. We covered a million things. And you're going to talk to one of my favorite guys, General Petraeus, later on.
We're going to have a dinner for General Petraeus tonight, representing. And he's a straight arrow.
I like him.
He's a real good guy. Yeah. And he loves the Grant's tomb. So it's on in honor of Ulysses S. Grant and Grant's tomb. And I got to do a board meeting with the Guardian Angels before that.
How about that? 45 years, those Guardian Angels have done a great job in this city. And you've done great by Curtis. And you know how much I love Curtis. So I'm happy about that. And I love you very much. So thank you for this great job. I'll be listening at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
Kick it out of the park.
That's my guy, John Katz, Matidis, folks, Katz and Cosby, 5 p.m. every weekday afternoon. And I got to tell you, if you miss that Sunday show too, Katz Roundtable, 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, you're doing yourself an injustice. You got to go Katz Roundtable, 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and then watch Maria Bartiromo on TV afterwards. That's how it works. We'll take a short break. Steve Bannon, Joseph Tacopina, still to come Monday with Sid, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow.
Oi! This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
I got so much going on. Private conversations with everybody from Dove Hyken to Curtis Sliwa. Two different subjects. But nevertheless, both planning big things. And you'll find out later. So just hold on. Calm down. Take it easy. Weather's nice. Bikini time, Louie. You wear one of those bikini. You don't wear that. Like a bathing suit. You wear like a No, I can't see that.
I can't even joke with you about that.
I can't even. I can see Alec doing it, though.
Yeah.
Young.
I'm actually going to Italy in a couple weeks, and I am bringing my Speedo.
Are you really going to?
Yeah, I'm going to wear a Speedo.
What, are you going to Italy before you go to Israel?
Yeah.
What kind of life do you have?
Well, my best friend was supposed to get married in Italy and then called off his wedding.
Why?
Well, you know.
Doesn't like her.
Well, that, yeah.
You woke up and he said, oh my God, you're fat.
Yeah, you bet your ass. So, but we're still going to go, me and my whole family.
So you're going straight from Italy to Israel?
No. Israel's not till July.
Oh, so you're going to two different trips. Yeah. How much money do you people have?
Is that a problem for you?
No, I'm just jealous.
Well, I got the time. I'm going to use it.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
All right. I wear the, the baggy bathing suit deal.
Yeah, I usually do that.
Right. And I'll be at the beach a couple times this week. I moved to the beach.
As you should be.
I'm so excited. I need that so badly. Mm. Yesterday, I just sat on my roof there. Yeah. I have a second floor kind of patio type of thing, you know.
Right.
And I was out there for like 2 hours, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Just staring at the sun and not a care in the world. But I can't do it for too long because I'm always planning stuff, you know.
Right. You're a very busy man.
Yeah.
So,
and then I had to watch the end of the Knick game and, you know, all that stuff. Uh-huh, very important uh-huh.
right,
stuff.
Right.
So now I got to talk to Bannon.
Yeah.
And he's upset about Trump and a whole bunch of stuff.
But he likes going to the beach, too.
I said to Bannon on Saturday or Sunday morning, I go, you know, Steve, there's a bunch of guys at this dinner I went to last night. They want me to run for mayor.
Uh-huh.
If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. But he said, that would be great. You should do it.
Of course he did.
I said, but I want Curtis to win. He said, well, Curtis is a nice guy, but stop it.
He thinks you're Bannon thinks you're some sort of diplomat.
The man, right. The great, right. He's like, you got to do it, Curtis. Yeah. Stop. Curtis can't win. You can win. I said, he said, but you have to deal with this. I said, oh, God, now what? Because, you know, Bannon gets a little crazy.
Right.
He said, they're going to try to assassinate you.
No, he didn't.
No, he's being totally serious. I go, they're going to what? He said, if you ever win, they're going to try to assassinate you.
Yeah, right.
Well, that should alleviate Danielle's mind.
Yeah. That should make her feel better, right?
Yeah, that's it. She's going to be on board from now on.
Yeah. So, Bannon is coming up next. Let's see if he has more to say about that.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Look over yonder. What do you see? The sun is rising. Most definitely. A new day is coming. People are changing.
Song right here, Crystal Blue Persuasion. This is, I believe, Tommy James, and much like Willie Nelson is celebrating his 91st birthday today, and he looks every bit of it. Tommy James celebrating a birthday today. How old is Tommy Lewis?
77.
All right.
God bless.
I do love this song. I love Steve Bannon, even though, again, Bannon said if I run for mayor and win, which I'm doing neither, but if I did, I'd be assassinated, so... He's got the best podcast in the country, War Room. He really does. That is a great podcast, great guests. And he's on this show every Monday, my dear friend Steve Bannon. Steve, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I said there'd be an attempt. I didn't say we'd pull it off. No, I got to tell you, that speaks more about where the country is and where New York City is. You're a firebrand. And you saw up in Columbia, you know, they're not sitting there. That group up there is not high-fiving looking for you to run for mayor. I actually believe you ought to run for mayor, but it's you know, you got to lace them up and lace them tight.
No, you were being serious, and it's not crazy because
I am being serious.
Yeah,
first of all, I think just your voice in the race is something that needs to happen in New York City. New York City is collapsing before us in the anarchy and chaos, greatest city in the world. It doesn't have to happen. One of the reasons it's happening is people are scared and people are just stepping back because they don't want to commit. Right now, if you want to save New York City, you want to save the country, you're going to have to commit. You got to commit. And right now, there's so many people on our side and so many people in the middle that see what's going on. They realize this is not America, but they're afraid. They're afraid because the enemies of this country aren't afraid to go all in and to stir up anarchy and chaos. They realize anarchy and chaos works for them. And that's what one of the things, this is what you had in the revolution. This is why they came up with the saying, sunshine soldiers and summer patriots, or so, you know, that they understood in the revolution with Tom Paine and Sam Adams and Patrick Henry, the first wave of the revolutionaries, realized most people are not made for fights like this. They just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
And that's why in the revolution, only about a third of the people were on our side. A third were the Tories. Yeah. This is Americans. A third were in the middle to see who would win. That's kind of where the country is today. And that's why people like you that commit are going to be targeted. You're just the New York City equivalent of the folks out in Arizona that just got indicted the other day. They're going to have millions of dollars of legal fees and their lives destroyed in this criminal conspiracy against Trump and against MAGA. If you announce, you'd just be another person they would target and target immediately, and quite frankly, target you more because you have a massive platform and a lot of folks in New York admire you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You're right, and I do appreciate that. You know, it does bring me to this question, though, Steve Bannon. Of course, I called you when I was honored to be on War Room a week ago today, when I was actually standing outside Columbia University holding that press conference with a couple of very proud Republican House Congress people. But the question that keeps being asked of me, and I answer it very, very quickly, is, let me ask you this. Let's say they weren't out there protesting Jews or Israel. Let's say there were a bunch of white folks out there protesting blacks. Or let's say there's a bunch of people out there protesting gays, LGBTQ, all that stuff. Do you think Mayor Adams would sit there and say, hey, listen, I have no jurisdiction. I'm not going unless the police call me. If they were protesting blacks, Eric Adams would be there in 15 minutes. No?
They would not be sitting there saying, oh, these people are First Amendment right. But they're obviously they would never allow that, and no one would ever do that. That's the difference. This is why I keep telling people, this is not about Israel, and it's not about Jewish people. This is about the United States of America. This is about the Judeo-Christian West. They're out to destroy. And look at the haters. Axios had a very interesting piece. I have it up on Getter, but I'll talk about it on the show today. They showed where the protests are concentrated. It's the Acela corridor from Boston to New York, to Philadelphia, to Washington, D.C. It's the same corridor that runs this country. These are their kids, basically, and others they've invited in this woke situation to these Ivy League and these schools in the Northeast. This is the Acela corridor is the corridor that controls our country, right? It's basically from the founding of the country, from Boston all the way to Philadelphia, and then you add D.C., and that's where this revolution's starting, and it's anti-American. Look at what happened at Harvard. Over the weekend, they took down the American flag that hangs over the statue of John Harvard on the building right in back of his statue. They took it down and they put a Palestinian flag up, and nobody stopped them. No police, no school security. They had a couple hundred people anti-Western demonstration, and they were clapping and applauding. And people should understand it's working. Last time I looked, I haven't seen IDF combat units in Rafah taking down the 4 or 5 combat battalions of the Muslim Brotherhood's franchisee Hamas that are still there. I haven't seen anybody taking up 2 combat battalions in Judea Samaria. So for the bad guys, it's worked and it's working. And now they're threatening to take it all. Until school ends, you're not going to see Israel make a move militarily because they're afraid. People are afraid of the information war that the left is winning here, and they are winning the information war. People have to understand it. The graduations are canceled. People are afraid to go across campus, and it's not just Jewish students. We had Ben Berquam, who's one of the toughest guys out there, been our investigative reporter, Real America's Voice, for the Darien Gap. He's going to Ukraine, everywhere. He said the scariest situation he's seen in this country is what he's seen on these college campuses.
Yeah. No, he actually interviewed me last week. He's a tough guy. I like him a lot. And he's right. So we're going to keep you right there. Stay there. You talked about taking the American flag down at Harvard and what they replaced it with. And my question to you on the other side is, I am sick and tired of these strict constitutionalists telling me that is freedom of speech. No, it's not. But what does Steve Bannon think? We'll take a short break. More of the brilliant Steve Bannon right after this.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
All right, Lou Ruffino playing the tunes at 9:02 on your gorgeous Monday morning. We're going to be in the 80s today, 80s and sunny. So I'll be on my second floor deck half naked, getting my summer tan on. Steve Bannon, Mr. War Room, the great Steve Bannon. So they take down the American flag at Harvard, and they throw up the Hezbollah flag, literally, the pro-Hamas murderous rape Hezbollah flag. And I had people in this studio last Friday, like a very famous judge, telling me, hey, freedom of speech, that's the First Amendment. Well, if that's the First Amendment, Steve Bannon, I've got an issue with the First Amendment.
Well, it's not a First Amendment issue. If they're doing this, what they ought to do is they ought to shut these encampments down. This is trying to stir up violence. This is anti-American. This is I hate America. This is just like having the Persians that are sitting there in Tehran saying death to America every day. They're trying to stir up a violent revolution in this country. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment. And this is why Kraft and Leon Cooperman and these guys have underwritten these colleges and saying now, hey, I'm cutting out donations. Not good enough. We need the faculties purged immediately of all these Marxists. We need the administrations purged immediately. And when I say purge, I mean go in and fire them and perp walk them off the campus. Any kid that's in there in these encampments that's on a foreign student visa, it's got to be deported. And even the Americans there sitting there saying death to America, you got to bring them to trial also. They ought to be arrested. It's not this phony, take them downtown and just release them that day, which happened at the University of Texas. This is a revolution. And I keep telling people, I said, it's only going to get worse. This is not about Israel. It's not about the Jewish people. This is about the United States of America. They think that we're colonizers. That's what they keep saying that Israel is. That's why it can never be peace in Israel. There's no deal you can cut with these people. You can't cut them because they don't think that the Israelis should be there legitimately.
Right.
They think they're oppressors. They think they're colonizers.
Right. Stolen
Everybody
land.
Everybody doesn't see this. The reason they're not focused on this, they're afraid. They're afraid. They don't want their kids to be kicked out of school. They don't want to be kicked out of the country club. They're afraid to step up and step into this. That's why every kid in those encampments ought to be taken right now on a foreign visa and deported this afternoon out of this country.
Couldn't agree
these
more.
Things ought to be shut down.
Could not agree more. Shut it down. Get rid of these kids. And like you said, take these other kids and put them in jail for a couple of days. These students, if they are students. Now, look, you're a great history guy. I was born in 1967. So I can't really wax poetic about 1968. I've read the books. I've talked to smart people like you. But I wasn't here. And everybody keeps saying this weekend, this is 68 all over again. Look, you got a war, a very unpopular war. You've got an incumbent who nobody wants to win again. You've got universities on fire. It's a lot like 1968, and that is not good for the Democrats as they get set for their national convention coming up this summer, in the same place, by the way, Chicago, like Chicago 1968. What are your thoughts?
Look, it's going to be much worse than 68, but let me take on that. Number one, and there's a lot of people saying, hey, just step aside. This is going to be because the Arab American vote and the Muslim vote for Biden is so powerful in Michigan. You have to, you know, make sure that goes away. Listen, this is much deeper than 68. 68 was terrible and very violent, but that was all about the draft. It wasn't about the Vietnamese people. As soon as the draft went away, all the violent protests stopped. This was about saving their own ass. They didn't want to serve their country. This was all about the draft. This is why they sold out the same liberals and Democrats in the early 70s after Nixon was kicked out from Watergate. They sold out the people in Southeast Asia. This is why you had Pol Pot. You had 30 million people slaughtered. because the communists came in there, because we retreated, because the liberal Democrats wanted us to retreat. 68 was about these pansies saving their ass from the draft. This is far deeper. This is about the United States of America. People better wake up to this. People throughout the country, oh, this is about Israel and the Jewish people. I said, no, it's not. This is about the foundational elements of the Judeo-Christian West and the shining light of that's the United States of America. That's why they're here, and that's what's got to be cleaned out. And you have to say, we're not going to put up with any nonsense here. Take those kids in Columbia, New York, send them to the tombs, right? Let them sit there and rot there for 30 days. Treat them like they're treating Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro's in a federal prison for 4 months for standing up to Nancy Pelosi. Give them the Peter Navarro treatment and deport. And the faculties, remember, the kids are not the problem. The kids are a symptom of a problem. Those encampments are a symptom of the neo-Marxists that run these universities. And that's why the donors don't get a free pass here. Just like I say, I'm going to cough my donations. Well, look, dude, you underwrote this for 30 years. These are the same guys in revolt and BLM, because underneath that was not about race in the United States. It was about a neo-Marxist takeover of this country. And if people don't step up to this now, it's only going to metastasize and get worse. And yes, I think the Democratic convention this year is going to be in chaos, because the Democrats, this is their governing philosophy. They are essentially neo-Marxist.
They are here in this city, in this state. I mean, you got the mayor who was on with Al Sharpton. You talk about a skee ball. He was on with Al Sharpton over the weekend saying, look, we're not going to Columbia. If they don't call us, you've got rallies. You've got some of these animals are walking the streets. Forget about inside the gates of Columbia. I take the train six blocks away on 110th Street, and these animals are walking out with kafirs up and down New York City. And he says, look, we don't have the jurisdiction. If they don't call us, we can't go in. What are your thoughts on that?
That's crap. If you've got a revolt going on that puts citizens in danger, you have superseding authority. What are you talking about? If they had a Ku Klux Klan up there having a rally, getting out of control, you're telling me they wouldn't step in? That's just a bald-faced lie. This is the problem. Too many people, what you want to put out that nonsense that people accept it. Well, they really can't do it. Let's just see what happens. Then the media goes down and plays patty cake with them. You ought to go in now, shut them down, deport everybody on a foreign visa, gets deported this afternoon. The other kids get thrown in the hoosegow for a while. Let them see how they like over at Rikers Island. And then you get into then you go to the faculties and the administration, you purge it all. Get rid of them. And those there on here, those people here on green cards, they're in those faculties, they're stirring this up. They get deported this afternoon also. You got to play smash mouth with these people. You play patty cake with them, it's only going to metastasize. And right now they're winning.
Oh, they are winning.
The IDF?
Yeah, they're winning.
Do you see the IDF down in Rafah?
No.
Do you see them up in Judea Samaria? They're
no.
not.
No.
The protests here, Netanyahu is afraid, and the Israeli government are afraid to move because of the information warfare in New York City is being won by the bad guys.
Yep. And Biden also came out again this weekend. He did it again, Bannon, and actually said to Bibi, don't you even think about going into Rafah with all those Palestinians. So let's get to Trump. All right, he's got 8 days in court. He's back in court here in New York tomorrow, week three. You had David Pecker, which is a perfect last name for that bastard. You had David Pecker on the stand for a couple of days last week. And look, you talk about how they're winning the information war. Now, Trump's numbers went up this weekend. That's great news. His numbers went up. But they are accomplishing what they want to accomplish, which is keep our guy in a freezing cold courtroom just about every day all week long. And it's week three. It's getting frustrating.
Look, the CNN poll is a blowaway poll. Trump's up by 6 mano a mano against Biden. He's up by 9.5 when you throw in Kennedy and Jill Stein and Cornel West. And Biden, no matter how much the media pushes him, you see this White House, the White House correspondents were slobbering all over him.
Please.
As hard as they push him, yeah. I think 60% of the American people deem that his presidency is a failure, and they don't care. They're still going to push it and push it hard. For what they're trying to do, and this is why they just dropped the indictments in Arizona the other day. This is a criminal conspiracy, and you see this from Julie Kelly's reporting about what's happening on the classified documents case in Florida. This is a criminal conspiracy between the Biden White House, Merrick Garland's DOJ, the FBI, and the local prosecutors to prosecute President Trump and his followers and his top advisors, all of them, to make sure that they're going to try to win by lawfare. Now, they're getting crushed at the Supreme Court, and they're going to be thrown out here. But right now, every day they keep Trump in that courtroom. okay? And they had these witnesses. Remember, Stormy Daniels is going to walk in with a calico dress, button up to her neck,
right,
like the Virgin Mary,
right,
is saying, you know, talking about how without his consent, her consent, she attacked him. This is all about information warfare. The same neo-Marxists that run Columbia are the same neo-Marxists that run New York City. And you're seeing it play out in Lower Manhattan, just like you're at that campus. They think this is their only shot to beat Trump, and they're going to go all in the next couple of weeks.
You are so right. On the way out here, who's on War Room today?
We're going to go to this conspiracy. We're going to break it down about why the House is not moving. You saw Maria Bartiromo blew up Jim Jordan yesterday.
Yep.
She asked the question. Maria asked the question on Fox, on her show on Sunday morning, what everybody in the country wants to know. What happened to these investigations? What happened to the weaponization of government? Because we're seeing it. What happened to the impeachment?
Well, what he said was all we can do is investigate. We don't have the power to arrest. I saw that interview.
Yeah, but oh no, he said. He said we had to investigate and put the facts out. Hey, let's do what they do. Let's have them call before Congress on national TV in front of an open mic day after day after day after day to what they did to Trump. And the Trump administration and President Trump's first term. Okay. That's what you have the power to do. And then send criminal referrals and dare the Justice Department to not do it. Show the American people what's going on here. There's a vast criminal conspiracy from Fonnie Willis to the AG in Arizona to the AG in Michigan to Jack Smith. It goes all the way to Merrick Garland and directly hardwired into the White House. Okay, let's show that to the American people and let's show it now. His answers were not acceptable. And even Maria Bartiromo blew him up. He has a much – it's just not getting the facts out. You have to have a process that holds people accountable and then dare the executive branch not to step in here and fulfill it. If you're going to fight, you got to fight. People are tired of these people just, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, tell me what you can do, and let's do that to the ultimate.
That is well said, because I got the same feeling. Even she, you're right, she was kind of frustrated. She's like, well, what's going to happen? We keep hearing about all these investigations. Is something going to happen to these bastards? And to your point, there was really no answer from Jim Jordan. I got to tell you, Steve, this is about as good as you'll ever be. This was an unbelievable appearance this morning. So thank you so much for shedding the light and your opinion. You're amazing.
I didn't realize to the day what a kid you were. I didn't realize how young you were. You have a well-lived-in body, brother. You have a very well-lived-in body.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. You did great. Thank you. Well, great to have you on. I love this guy, man. He's the smartest guy that I know. I'm going to say that. Steve Bannon. Well, I don't know. Maybe Justin.
Thank you.
Put a poll up on WABC next to me and Curtis.
That's a great idea.
Who's the smarter, smartest, Justin Ellick or Steve Bannon?
The smartest person associated with the show. No, that's what you want.
No, then you have to have O'Reilly.
I'm just going to say O'Reilly.
Bannon.
Gnome.
You think Gnome's smart? He reads a piece of paper. He reads the news. He's got a good voice.
I think I could win this poll, actually.
I think you could. Yeah.
I'm going to put it up.
You've got enough backing, I think.
Yeah.
You're going to put Gnome on there?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you not put Gnome on?
We've got Donald Trump on this show. Right. John Catsimatidis. Guy's worth $4 billion. You're putting Gnome up there? He's got a dog in Jersey City?
Of course you put Mr. Katz on the list. Yes, but there's still other people. That's why it's
Well, how many people are on this list, damn it?
Maybe people will write in that their own people.
Well, how many people you want on the list?
Or would you put Rich Lowry on the list?
He's a very smart guy.
Okay.
He laughs a lot.
Right. Right.
He got one of the all-time great laughs. There we go. All right, we'll figure something out. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the last hour, including the very smart, I guess, Gnome, with the news and Joe Tacopina. Keep it right here.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
What you say? He's just a friend.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi! Fox. Zibanejad. Panarin. Score! Artemi Panarin! It's a power play goal! Rangers lead 3-2. And this one is over. The Rangers sweep it. The New York Rangers sweep the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Igor Shesterkin with a brilliant series. The Rangers' first sweep of a best-of-seven series since the 2007 sweep of the Atlanta Thrashers.
You know, I got a funny story about the Thrashers and the Rangers. So, 1999, I'm in, you ready for this? Tennessee, where Danielle was this weekend. No, I wasn't. I was in Atlanta in Tennessee. What are you, am I stupid? I was in Atlanta where Tennessee was playing the Rams in the Super Bowl. That was Kurt Warner's first Super Bowl win. He threw a touchdown pass to Isaac Bruce in the fourth quarter, gave the Rams a lead. The Titans look like they're on their game-tying drive. Steve McNair hits Kevin Dyson down the middle, and Ram linebacker Mike A. Jones tackles Dyson inside the one. And that's how the Super Bowl ended. It was in Atlanta, okay? And it was a crazy weekend. But the Rangers were playing the Atlanta Thrashers on this night in 1999 during the Super Bowl. So we leave. We're on the way to go to some party in Atlanta. And we put the game on, Rangers and Thrashers. And do you know who the voice was for the Atlanta Thrashers that year? And years after that, I guess.
Just hockey?
Just hockey. Very, very famous radio host.
Oh, radio host.
Very famous. I gotta be the man, you're the man.
Oh, Pharrell.
Pharrell. Pharrell was the voice of the Atlanta Thrashers. He's doing the Thrasher-Ranger game right at the Super Bowl between the Titans and the Rams. But the Rangers have moved on.
Pharrell.
Pharrell, you believe that? He's a big hockey guy.
He's at the point. They shoot it in. Oh, it's wide.
You know, I used to fill in for Pharrell when he was on Howard 101. Tim Sabian used to run Howard Stern's two channels, 100 and 101. 100 was solely Howard. But 101, they had like Pharrell, Bubba the Love Sponge. And when Pharrell couldn't work, I'd fill in. He loves hockey, Pharrell. Anyway, the Rangers have moved on. They'll take on Carolina. Carolina's not done yet. The Islanders staved off the sweep with a win a couple days ago. But it's academic at this point. Rangers, Hurricanes, very tough second-round matchup. My next guest is not only the best defense attorney in the world, Arthur Idala. I know you're listening right there. But he's also the biggest Ranger fan in the world, the great Joseph Tacopina. Good morning, Tack.
I didn't sleep a minute last night. A four-game sweep. That was amazing. Oh, my God. That's just this is the year. I know it's crazy to say this. Of course, we've been burned before, Sid, but this is the year. This team is different. They look different. They feel different. You know, that Rempe factor, even though he plays 6 minutes a game, he's there. Yeah. It doesn't let this team doesn't get pushed around anymore. You know, Washington tried. It didn't work. It's like he's emboldened the whole team. It's a great thing to watch. It really is.
I agree. But what if we? But
New York needs this.
No, I agree. But what if we lose to Carolina? Then it's not the year.
That would make it not the year, correct?
Right.
We're not going to lose to Carolina. We're not going to lose to Carolina.
We're not going to?
No, absolutely not.
They're a very good team, Carolina.
Do you understand the law of attraction?
Do you
understand what that is? The law of attraction. In other words, the power of positive thinking. It's sort of how I live my life. I mean, the law of attraction, if you believe in something and will it, it is going to happen. The brain's the most powerful muscle in the body.
Really?
And I'm telling you right, absolutely. The law of attraction, look it up. It's amazing.
So if when your former client and my friend, President Donald Trump, gets to court tomorrow morning and he sits there in that freezing cold courtroom for 8 hours, and he believes in his heart of hearts and his mind, law of attraction, he's going to win the case, then he's going to win, right?
Well, the problem is the 12 jurors might have a different law of attraction than he does. Now, listen to me. He should win that case. You know how I feel about that case. And I was in that case, and I know the facts. That case is not a criminal case. It's a lifetime achievement award case. In other words, they're bringing this in New York. If this were Florida, Texas, you know, any Republican, so to speak, strong state, you couldn't bring this case. I mean, I still don't even understand what the criminal theory is behind it. I understand there's a lot of salaciousness here, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of sleazy stuff going on here. I mean, the National Enquirer and stories being planted and extramarital affairs and all that stuff. You know, the defense really should be arguing, look, this may be a little sleazy. He may be a little sleazy, but he's not a criminal. Unfortunately, they can't do that because, you know, President Trump is there.
He'll kill him.
He'll murder.
Todd'll never work again.
Well, that remains to be seen. But they have to carry that weight of not really going full throttle on how you would in a case like this, because you have to make sure this jury understands, listen, you don't have to like this guy. You could hate this guy, but the rule of law demands that no one is above the law, yet no one's below the law. And despite your feelings for him, if you don't like him, if you don't like his conduct, if you don't like his behavior, there's a place for that, a secret time and place that's called the ballot box. It's not a courtroom where the rule of law applies, where everyone has to be treated fairly. Our least popular citizen, not saying that he is, but our least popular citizen has to be treated the same way our most popular citizen.
Well, let me give you this. I've got a guy who may be our least popular citizen, and his attorney is listening right now. He just texted me, and he loves you. You love him. So do I. We all went to Poly Prep together. And that is the least popular citizen in this talk is Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And the lawyer is Arthur Idala. You proud of Artie? You got that win last week?
I'm so proud of him. I mean, listen, he fought hard during that case. I mean, it was an unwinnable case. But we talked, Arthur and I talked about this because we were prepped. I was going through the prep with him on some of the witnesses he was going to do. And we talked about this. This judge, who's no longer a judge, by the way, I'll point that out, right? He got removed from the bench because of his conduct in that case and the way he treated Idala and everyone else. I mean, and rightfully so, because, you know, judges shouldn't be partisan. Judges, you could be a tough judge. You could be a lenient judge. You'd be a nice judge. You'd be a cranky judge. But you have to call balls and strikes. You can't be partisan. You can't be a participant to try and help one side get a verdict. It disgusts me when that happens. There's nothing worse in a courtroom. As a trial lawyer, I'm telling you, I don't care if the judge likes me, dislikes me, is happy or cranky or whatever. Just be fair. Just be fair. Call the pitch as you see it. Don't start interposing your own views. That's what this guy did, this judge. And look, the appeal is an amazing thing. I mean, it really was a great. And because, listen, Arthur sent me a text this morning of our screenshot the day he was going in to do the oral argument on the appeal. And, you know, he said he was nervous and whatever, they're going to throw hypotheticals, you know. But I said, brother, you're on house money. You know, you're on house money. No one expects you to win. And of course, no one expected him to win, but he did. So that was, you know, it was the right ruling. No kidding. I mean, I know people are outraged, but people who don't understand or aren't intellectually in tune with the law is right. Even Harvey Weinstein has to be treated fairly. We can't bend the rules.
Yeah.
The least popular.
No, it's weird. It's actually.
He let every other case,
I know,
every other allegation in. He wasn't even charged with it. It was ridiculous.
It's the second time in the last 2 weeks on this program that we've talked about a quote unquote criminal that I don't like. In one case, I hated him, and yet all you legal scholars said the same thing, which is the result was right, whether it was the appeal win for Artie with Harvey Weinstein or O.J. Simpson not being guilty on the murder charge, even though we know he did it. It's the second time in 2 weeks you guys are saying the verdict was actually right, and that's hard for a guy like me to swallow, but you're probably right.
It is, and that's why it's true. Look, I could harken back. Everyone, you know, look, these are two obvious examples of two people who are easy to dislike. But here's why you have to keep the system in check. Here's why even people like Harvey Weinstein need to be given a fair shake. You know, remember Richard Jewell, right? Remember that guy?
Yes.
That was he was a security guard at the Atlanta Olympics. A bomb went off. He was in close proximity. He was actually trying to save people there. He saw a bag and he started acting. He was vilified. He was indicted publicly. Because he was heavy, they made fun of him and called him the Uniblubber, because the Unabomber was from Montana. They called him the Uniblubber. They destroyed this man's life. There was not a lawyer who would touch him. Not a lawyer. Until one brave lawyer from who was a public defender sort of came to his aid and fought for him. He turned out to be not only innocent, but he was being heroic that day. But they've destroyed him publicly. And then he died of a heart attack a few years later. That's a trade. There's a great movie called Jewel. If you ever want to question why we do what we do as criminal defense attorneys, watch that movie, because it'll bring a tear to your eye. It really will. We can't just cut corners for the least popular or the ones that we think are guilty. We miss things, and it's just not right. And it's not. Look, Harvey Weinstein. No one is going, oh, thank God for Harvey. I mean, he's the most hated guy I've ever encountered. Right? Ever.
More than OJ. You know, more than OJ?
No, not more than OJ. Okay, yeah. But in today's
not
era,
more than Trump. You know, not more than Trump. You've had them all.
Well, no. I've never seen. Look, Harvey tried to call me a representative, by the way, and that even I remember that, and it was you know, look, he. But I'm so proud of Arthur, and I'm so happy for him, because look, he's a fighter, man, and then that's, you know, that's what Brooklyn does. It brings out the best in it, right? So it's his day. It's his win. It's great. And he, you know, every other lawyer sort of abandoned him. He stood by and did the appeal.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had that.
I was happy for him, too.
Lawyer from Chicago, so yeah. It was good.
Now, as long as he stays in jail, I mean.
Retry the case.
Right. I mean, at least Los Angeles gave him a 16. Like my daughter said to me, I'm happy for Artie, but if he was getting out of jail, we would hate Artie as much as we hate Harvey Weinstein. But thank God for Los Angeles, he's still going to be in jail for a long time.
And don't forget, this case isn't overturned and dismissed. Go home, Mr. Weinstein. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has the option of retrying this case. And if he's not going to spend the rest of his life in jail in L.A., they will try him again.
Yeah.
And they will most likely get a conviction because, again, it's impossible for him to get a fair trial. I mean, so, you know, but it's great. Look, anytime someone I'm very close to, and it's not a lot of people I'm very close to, you know, Sid, I mean, I have you and an author, and there's a few real people that I think
Pete family. Morgan at this point is a close friend.
Pete Morgan's my brother. I mean, we were going crazy last night. Rangers. I mean, it was crazy.
I love it.
But for real, it is. It's just nice. It feels good when someone that you care about, that you're close to, is successful. I'm truly generally happy when someone I love or care about is successful and does well, because there's so many few. There's so, as you know, Sid, there are a few people.
Oh my God,
who actually love their haters throughout the world, and they dominate society.
Scumbags.
They're just, you know, they're self-hating people who take their loathing out on others. And
fine.
And I have no tolerance for that. I really don't care about them. I don't care.
Me either.
Damn when they want things right. You either. And that's why.
No, I don't care. Successful. No.
That's why Arthur's successful. That's why I'm successful. And you know, it's a shout out to Brooklyn this morning.
That's it. Final 60 seconds. Trump back in court tomorrow, as you mentioned, but he's got this gag hearing on Thursday. As far as I know, they said he 14 times he went against this gag order. They want to charge him $1,000 a piece, 14,000, whatever it is. So that would not put him in jail. But what do you think about the judge this weekend, just this weekend, who said that there'll be no more trials in the E. Jean Carroll deal, which is what you did, and he has to pay $83 million.
No. That's not end all be all. That's Judge Kaplan. We knew Judge Kaplan was going to do that, right? We knew Judge Kaplan was going to deny the motion for a new trial. He's the judge who sat for the trial. So for him to do anything other than that, he would have to say, yeah, I really messed this trial up. I'm going to give you a new trial. It goes to an appellate court now. Now it gets to the, you know, the same thing that Harvey Weinstein just went through. That was the trial judge who said, you don't get a new trial. That's not done yet.
So is there a chance, you know how, like, for example, and this is why I love having you on, you, all you guys, but you especially, is there a chance, like, when he was supposed to pay the $460 billion and they decided the Supreme Court, give us $175 and we'll give you some time, is there a chance that in the appellate decision, even if it's not overturned, they can minimize that $83 million number?
Yeah, sure. The appellate courts have broad discretion to do what they want. They could reduce. And that's, by the way, what always frequently happens in civil cases, where awards on appeal are reduced. And so I think that's going to happen. I mean, look, you just have to take a look at the papers, right? I mean, I've never had a case, never tried a case, and I didn't try that one, obviously, where the plaintiff sued for $10 million. During the trial, they upped their ask to the jury to $24 million because of the in-trial conduct and all that other stuff, right? The jury said to the plaintiff, no, no, we are not giving you your $24 million. We're going to give you $83 million. I mean, whoever I don't think that's ever happened ever in the history of American jurisprudence where the plaintiff is asking for a certain amount of money, a crazy amount of money, and the jury has said, no,
nope.
We're not going to give you that. We're going to give you
three times as much.
four times almost crazy. What you asked.
Crazy.
I never heard of that. Yeah. And that goes to show you the Trump factor in New York City.
Yeah.
And it's rough.
It's rough.
How the jury, you know.
Yep. He'll be back tomorrow. Trump will be back tomorrow. I'm glad you're back from your European vacation, and I love you. And the Rangers are going to be fun, and we'll do this again on Friday. And hopefully I see you at the Garden round two, but you were great as always today. Great job.
All right, brother. I'll see you Friday.
Love you, buddy. Joe Tacopina right there. Always does a tremendous job. Let me move now to our sports weekend wrap-up. Dr. T, Arthur Turovitz, the weather's gorgeous today, 80 and sunny. You want to go out there in your bathing suit? Lose the contractually guaranteed 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days. Call NJ Diet at 855-5NJ-DIET or go to njdiet.com. The Audie's a Philly fan, so listen, the Sixers,
yeah.
The Sixers losing at home to the Knicks is not embarrassing. Yeah. It's the Knicks with a 2 seed and Brunson had a big day. What is embarrassing is when Philly fans claim to be the best fans in the world and the Knicks fans were louder to the point where Joel Embiid was furious with the fans yesterday. What was that all about?
Listen, I was at that game. The lovely people at WIP in Philly got me seats four rows off the floor. So I was there watching the whole thing. And congratulations to your Rangers. Nice sweep there.
Thank you.
That's nice. You know, listen, the bottom line is you can't afford to buy tickets in the Garden because those seats down below are thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So you could drive an hour and a half and basically have whatever, you know, go to Philly, buy tickets at a quarter of the price and enjoy a basketball game. So a lot of it is financial. And it's close, and there's plenty of Eagles fans that go to Giants games. And my son was real wound up, my 16-year-old. I can't believe all these Knicks fans. I go, wait a minute. You were at the Knicks game the first game sitting there as a Philly fan. I mean, you can't not let people come to games. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, whatever. We did. No, you can let people come to games, but that scumbag, and he's a wonderful player. He's the reigning MVP and scored 50 in game two. He's a great, great player.
He had in the fourth. He
Three.
Was exhausted.
And he's a scumbag, and he's now been banned from the Empire State Building for being the dirtiest player in a four-game series ever. My God, he's a great player.
Was he banned from going into the building or climbing the building?
I think going in, to be exact. But
listen, to break it down, I have to actually look this up. They had the Knicks rebounding was just a second half points. They had 15 offensive rebounds that they turned into 21 second half points, and 11 of them in the fourth quarter. And the game, I think, really turned when Hardenstein got his fifth foul because then they put Obi on Embiid. The whole fourth quarter, he was standing there. I don't know how much you could see on TV. The whole fourth quarter, he's basically standing there with his hands on his shorts. He was shot. He was completely gone. And, you know, and then they doubled, you know, they were able to just double Lowry. Nobody else stepped up. I mean, that Tobias Harris is basically stealing money at this point. $40 million, whatever he's getting, he's barely even on the court. It's like he's just taking a spot there. It's crazy. I don't know.
Well, it looks like the Knicks are going to move on. I mean, I can't see the Sixers winning three straight.
Brunson played Brunson left hand, right hand, slicing, dicing, shots, this, that, floaters, just magnificent. And I'll tell you what, I grew up in Philly. I grew up a huge Villanova fan back in the day from Rolly Massimino and obviously Jay Wright, those teams with Brunson. So it's like a little bittersweet for me and a lot of other fans because you watched, you know, you basically the core of the whole Knicks team was the Villanova team, right? Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo. And I'll tell you, you know, objectively speaking, I want the Sixers to do well. I want the Sixers to win. But if they're going to lose to anybody, I'm totally fine with it being Brunson 47-10. I mean, geez, what a great game yesterday. And Hart, 17 rebounds, just phenomenal. It's just, you know, it's nice to watch. Look, it's fun to watch good basketball. And the Knicks are playing real good basketball right now.
And we'll see what happens. But it's going to be fun.
You're right about the Villanova connection. Thank you, as always. Excellent job. Dr. T, Arthur Turovitz, excellent job. You're right. Those are three guys do have some of the Philly fans taking some solace, even though they may lose this series to the Knicks. Lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days. Do it with NJ Diet, 8555-NJ-DIET or NJDiet.com. We'll take a short break. More right after these words.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
I just did it. I was out on Friday. Again, great job by Chris Alenzo and Ian and the Metropolitan Club. Their gala. They honored Greg Kelly. Greg was terrific. His father, Ray, made the speech. I met Greg's mom. Just adorable. I mean, really nice. And Alina Habba was honored. I love Alina Gordon Chang. But Tom Homan, man, was he good. And he talks very honestly about the border. What's going on there? The cartels and sex abuse, 5-year-old boys, 9-year-old girls. I mean, it was scary. He had people sitting there crying, including my daughter, Ava, who was considering going into the business of representing girls who are shipped off as sex trafficking. And Homan was just outstanding. And Bernie Kerik was great. And Tom Kniff and Rudy was there. And Governor Patterson and Tobacco and Castronova. My friend Madison Malloy. It was a great night. But I think Tom Homan really nailed it. Greg was funny as can be. Really funny. He does a very good Donald Trump impression. So it was a fun night. I'm kind of going over the weekend. Again, I saw Tim Klein's parents in my neighborhood. That was a big deal. Both of them, separate days over the last 4 or 5 days, his mom, Diane, his father, Pat. And I told his father, Pat, when I saw him Friday, that I am dedicating this Rangers run to the late firefighter, the Canarsie kid, Timothy Klein, his whole family, his sisters, Tara, Bridget, and Erin. And I don't know the name of the girl he was about to marry. She's a daughter now. But I'm dedicating this whole Ranger run to the Klein family. And then, of course, Saturday night, LaSore and Tina, big dinner. Thank you, Joseph. Tommy, Adam, Mango, and Eddie, and me and my kids, where I was dubbed the King of New York until this poll against Curtis. When some of these influential, wealthy New Yorkers on Friday night said, Sid, you should be mayor. And I said, no, stop it. I'm endorsing Curtis. No, you're the guy. You're the guy. You're more serious. You look great. You stand for all the right things. I'm like, will you stop it? That's Curtis's gig. So you put up a poll this morning, and I think Curtis has like 99% of the vote. 99%.
84 now.
Yeah.
You have almost 16.
Well, I think most of those people know that Curtis would be the better mayor. I admit that. I want no part of this. You crazy? And a lot of those people also don't want me to leave mornings. That's the other issue. Because then what? If I don't do mornings.
Nothing to listen to.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a combination of both, you know. But, these guys are serious. I'm not serious, but they are. And Curtis is going to be a great mayor. I think.
No, he should have been the mayor.
He should have been the mayor, 100%.
The bar is not very high, though.
Right? I know that. No, I know. I mean, I am so disappointed in Eric, I can't begin to tell you. And I told Catch today, a lot of people come on the show, they go, your friend the mayor. Some are being serious. He's not my friend. I don't wish him bad. I don't think down deep he's a bad person. I don't. I think he's a good person. But he has been a colossal failure. He doesn't do anything.
No more doing barbecues.
I'm sorry?
No more doing barbecues.
Hey, get those kids out of Columbia. Can't do it. Don't have jurisdiction. Unless they call me first.
No more smoking.
Hey, get those migrants. Put them on a bus and get them out of here. Can't do it.
Illegal. No more doing drugs.
Yeah.
Hey, get the scumbags who've been arrested 100 times off the streets. Can't do it. Got to talk
no
to
more
Heastie.
Just doing whatever you want.
You know what I'm saying, bro. You know what I'm saying. Got to talk to Heastie or Stuart Cousins. Can't do it. I mean, every answer is I can't do it. I mean, I never saw a guy in any political position who actually says, I can't do it. What do you want me to do? I'm on your side. I love the Jews. I'm with you. Can't do it. Can't do it. Is there anything factually incorrect in what I just said, Noam Layden?
I don't think so.
Every major issue in this city, he basically says, I can't do it.
I was thinking we could retool your message so you could win this poll.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not too late. I mean, you're down 83 to 14%, which is not so great. But I think if we redid a couple things, I mean, there's a good picture of you up here, so that should help. But
yeah,
maybe we need to think a little harder about this. And it's not too late.
Sure.
I got faith.
Yeah, you could have a picture of you saying, free money for your votes.
There I'd
you
go. Still lose.
You could stand
there. I think I'd still lose.
I don't know, but can we... Do you want me to change it out with you saying free money for your votes? See what happens?
I don't know.
Everybody.
I'm dropping out today already. That's it. I'm done. It's like Anthony Scaramucci. He had 11 days. I have 11 minutes.
Well, at least you won't get assassinated. That's good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Steve Bannon wasn't kidding. He was being serious.
No, he doesn't laugh.
No. So. He's like, they're going to kill you.
No, he doesn't laugh.
Has he ever laughed?
I've never heard him laugh.
Yeah. I saw him laugh at Cipriani's, to be honest.
He was laughing. Okay.
Well, you should keep your pants on when you go to these dinners.
Well, Lou, you make me laugh, and Justin, you do too, and Noam, you do too. That was a great show, boys. Mondays are always fun. We wrap up the weekend, and we'll be back with another great show, as Gene would say, God willing, Tuesday. So enjoy your 80-degree sunny Monday. Until tomorrow at 6, from all of us on Sid and Friends in the Morning, to all of you, peace! Happy birthday, Willie! Go get her, Willie!
And leaving hard, you left so cold. Whiskey River, take my mind.